Hey, what's going on, podcasters?
Now that's shtick.
That's some shtick for that's you. It's your boy, Jimmy P.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hey.
Hey, we have our guests again.
Wow.
How's it going, baby shorts?
Hey.
We introduce ourselves later. We established this.
Yeah, well.
We're not nearly at the 40-minute mark of this podcast yet.
I know.
Questions, man.
Yeah, we got questions, y'all.
Let's do it.
So as you can see, I'm not shaving.
Oh, yeah.
You can all see.
Yes. Picture it in your minds. Picture it in your third eyes.
Imagine James. Good. Now imagine him with, like, the first 2% of a beard.
There it is.
There you go. I'm sorry, y'all. And also Scott has a beard.
Notoriously bearded.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very well trimmed.
Well, maybe not right now.
It looks good.
Looks okay.
Well, I'm equally jealous.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
jealous of both of you because this is about as fuzzy as I get. And
I
hate it.
It's okay. For Greg, probably will get mad for me telling him this, which is why I'm going to do it anyway.
That's been a recurring theme.
Yeah. I met Greg when he was like 23 or whatever, something like that. And for the first like 6 years that I knew him, he had what I think he called the reverse Hitler stash, which was that he could grow hair everywhere except for he had like the last 4/5 of a mustache on either side.
He still kind of has it.
Yeah, it's getting better as he gets older. It's not getting perfect.
No.
There are some hockey players that seriously have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have what a friend of mine affectionately refers to as the hair helmet, where it grows down the sides and down my chin.
Oh, you got
a little
the chin
bit of my
stash,
mustache,
yeah.
But I got nothing on the cheeks at all.
Yeah.
I had a buddy when I was in high school, and like we were teenagers, so we were just like stupid and kind of gross. Like in the sense that we weren't taking proper care of our bodies. And when we first started out growing facial hair, his hair was bright, bright, bright blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't shave for like 6 years.
Oh, gross.
Like we started shaving at 13 and he was just like, no one can see it anyway, so I'm not going to bother. The problem though is that the habit developed and then he turned 18 and his hair actually went like proper beard color.
Yeah.
And so he just had this like really kind of off peach fuzz mustache for 6 years that he never, oh, it was so bad, dude.
Oh, no.
So bad. Jason, I'm glad that he recently, I don't know if he's married, but he just bought a house with the person that he's with. And I don't think he listens to this podcast, so that's the really important thing.
Cool.
And I'm glad he got his facial hair in check.
Anyway.
Speaking of facial hair.
Yeah.
So, I shaved, is all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
So, what is your favorite facial hair in games?
Oh, alright.
Yeah. Want me to go? While you need to think?
I can go.
Alright, you go.
Mario.
Oh, shit.
You know what?
The mustache.
I don't even care that's like the boring one. I love it.
That's a solid answer.
And
great. I would pick Wario.
That
personally.
Is, I cannot.
I thought about the Waluigi, but that's not a good stash.
No.
Mario's got a good stash.
He does.
That's fair.
Yeah,
I can respect that.
That's legit.
That's a good one.
That's my video game stash.
I think mine would have to be Hagar from Streets of Rage.
Yeah,
that got that Burt Reynolds mustache that is just like he's gonna punch you, but it also looks like his mustache could punch you.
So. Oh yeah,
Hagar's a fascinating character because he's supposed to be the mayor of that town as well, right? He's Mayor Hagar, but he's like 7'3", like 340 pounds of solid muscle,
and only has overalls.
Yeah, he doesn't wear a shirt. And he pile drives people.
And he beats up his voter.
His constituents.
Yeah.
Just beats the shit out of all his constituents. There's a gang problem in his city and his response is way too literal.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll see to it.
Yeah, exactly. Personally. Don't worry, I've got it under control. But actually what he meant was that he actually had it under control. Fucking Hagar, man. I don't have a good answer for this one.
Well, I'll give you time to think.
Yep.
Alright, so mine is legendary first-person shooter, silent protagonist, Gordon Freeman.
That's a goatee.
Yeah.
Goatee with a crowbar.
But that counts.
Yeah.
Is the goatee still in?
Yes.
Like,
no.
Speaking as a very old person.
No.
There are some people who try to make it in.
Yeah.
Okay, my dad grew a goatee once
when
I was young, and it was so bad, I refused to be seen in public with him until he shaved it.
Ooh,
actually, you know what? My dad has a strong goatee, and like he was a cop, so like he always had the mustache, like the cop mustache growing up. But when he got old and retired, now he's got a goatee, and it actually looks pretty good on him.
Some people can pull it off. Like shout outs to Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh yeah, I'll give you that.
Love him.
Okay. I mean,
not a gaming, but still.
No, and I would fine. Also argue that he would probably look better with either a full beard or no beard.
Yeah.
But he kind of rocks
constantly
it.
Has a shadow. He has a mustache right now.
Oof. It's kind of like a weird target. It's like, here's my mouth.
Yeah.
It's like a hairy target.
Well, it's like bald people who have beards. It's like their hair fell.
I found my answer.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. James, I'll tell you what. You go first.
For what?
For facial hair.
I just did.
Damn it.
Gordon Freeman.
That's right. Yeah. Fuck. All right. You did go first. Good job.
Thank you.
Thanks for preemptively understanding what I needed from you.
I does what I do.
My answer is... fantastic update to some facial hair.
Oh.
Which was previously, like culturally relevant and then got way out of taste and then got better. Kratos.
Yes.
Yeah.
From the new God of War.
Yeah. Beard of War.
Yeah. The Beard of War.
Yes.
Cause he previously had like the chin strap with some pointy shit on
and
it.
Yeah. Didn't he have like a weird goatee?
He did.
Or something.
And it went halfway up his cheek, mid cheek or something.
Yeah. And back in the day, you know what? Back in ye olden times of 2003, that was fine. But it's just not okay in 2019. I'm sorry. You gotta go full lumberjack beard. And Kratos updated himself, and now he looks like someone's dad.
Oh, yeah, he's got like a little spider butt. Yeah.
Which is 100%
a soul patch.
Yeah.
Flavor saver.
Yeah. Mm.
You know. Ooh, can I do a quick nod for worst mustache?
Ooh, sure.
Vegeta in Dragon Ball GT.
Oh, Vegeta's terrible mustache.
So good.
You know what? And you know what's even more terrible about that is that it's not... it doesn't make sense in canon.
Yeah, because their hair doesn't grow.
Yeah, because, so, for anyone who doesn't know, Toriyama wrote a reason for him to not have to draw different hairstyles for people so that he could do the same drawings of anime characters for 35 years and not have to adapt or change, which is that Saiyans don't change their body hair, ever. If you cut a Saiyan's hair, then it will grow back into the exact same style as it did previously, and it's just their hairstyle...
For
eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you have a beard, get fucked, I guess, because it's never changing.
But he also went, like, full guile in GT, too.
Yeah,
he just cut the point off the top.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Also, that begs the question, like, with King Vegeta, his father...
Who did have a beard.
Yes, was he born with it?
Probably.
came out with a full rug.
Nappa.
Yeah,
that's
true.
But wait, no, in some of the new stuff, like New Broly, the movie, when it shows Kid Vegeta and Nappa, Nappa has a little mop on top of his...
He does have,
oh, does he?
He has a little mop on top, so I guess they can go bald, but just not grow hair.
I don't know.
This is wild.
I don't know, because I think we've seen some older Saiyans that have gray hair as well.
I didn't mean to open this Pandora's box. Yeah.
It's a whole thing. Listen, I remember because it was a throwaway line in Dragon Ball Z with the explanation because they go into the hyperbolic time chamber.
Trunks' hair grows.
Yeah, Vegeta and Trunks go into the hyperbolic time chamber.
The half-humans grow.
Yeah, and when they come out, Trunks has long hair and Vegeta doesn't, and they're like, hold on, Vegeta, if you were going to cut your hair, why wouldn't you cut your kid's hair, too? And Vegeta goes, I would never cut my hair.
I'm the prince of all Saiyans. Saiyans never have to cut their hair.
And then they're actually just like, yeah, Saiyans don't ever have to cut their hair. It's the human in him that's letting his hair grow, dipshit. Yeah. Which is also why Gohan's hair grows as well.
Mm-hmm. Bowl cut.
Yeah, yeah, so he doesn't have the stupid bowl cut anymore, and now he has stupid little tiny bitch spikes.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, moving on to our second question of the day.
Yeah, two?
Hey, speaking of Dragon Ball, guys, this next question is, I'm gonna open it up to both sides of this question, which is, what did or did not live up to the hype? With the understanding that, this has to do with my week.
Okay.
I have something that did live up to the hype, and I have something that didn't live up to the hype.
Okay.
Alright. From my week.
So, I'll go.
All right.
So the year's 2013. I got a 3DS.
Yeah.
For this game in particular.
Particular.
Excuse me.
Can I guess what it was?
Yes.
Could it perhaps be the game that you put like 600 hours into by any chance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it was awesome and amazing and great. And Crom's in it.
Yeah.
And it was awesome, and I loved reading up about it and everything because like, behind the scenes, they're saying that this was potentially going to be the last Fire Emblem.
Yeah, IS was not doing amazing.
No,
they
were not. And, like, just from the behind the scenes interviews, they're like, okay, since this is maybe the last one, let's just go balls to the wall.
Throw all the spaghetti at the wall.
Knock it way the fuck
and
out of the park.
Every noodle stuck, let me tell you. For me.
Yeah, I agree. Awakening is definitely, like, people complain that Awakening's too easy, and I think that that's kind of shit. It's definitely easier.
Yes.
It can be as hard as you make it, I think.
It's true. Because you can play that game on Lunatic and get your ass kicked.
Yes.
And
you can be a casual like me that just wants to ship people.
And you can also play it on Lunatic Plus, which is a bigger kick in the balls.
Yeah.
Because every single enemy unit has like broke skills. There's like
Vantage and Counter.
Yeah, Vantage and like Hawkeye Plus, which is like they're gonna hit you no matter what.
Yep.
Luna Plus, which means like they're always gonna treat your health as like 30% less defense tacked onto it. So yeah, it can be very difficult. But yeah, I loved it. It was great. I loved all the twists and things in it, and
Dude, it was great.
I just recently finished playing it again.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. In anticipation of Three Houses?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair.
But I'd say let's go around the circle for hype, and then we'll go around the circle for not hype, because I still need to think about my not hype.
Okay. All right. I have a not hype, but I don't have a hype.
I have a hype.
I'll tell you what, we'll do a non-standard order.
Okay.
So you go ahead.
So my big hype was everybody hyped up like Nier Automata. Yes. This podcast hyped up Nier Automata.
We have been known to do that from time to time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I bought it really cheap on Boxing Day, and it sat in my room for like a long time being like, oh, I really gotta play that. And then finally my friend was like, you gotta play this. It was amazing. Like, it lived up. I was expecting it to be very good after everything, but it's still, the way it did everything blew my mind even more. And also that soundtrack though.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that game.
My answer, as the single most lived up to the hypedness piece of media that I have ever experienced, the 2012 Avengers movie.
The very first Avengers movie.
Agreed.
I've been a comic book fan since basically the day I was born. And, when I was in high school when, Iron Man came out in 2008, and I watched it in the theaters like four times, and I think I've said this on this podcast before, there was a week in like 2010 where I was bored. And on Monday, I watched Iron Man, and then on Tuesday, I was like, you know, I really liked watching Iron Man, and I watched it again. And that happened the entire week. Over a 7-day period, I watched Iron Man 8 times.
Oh my gosh.
Because there was one day, I think it was the Thursday, where I finished watching Iron Man, and I was just like, I'm not doing anything right now, and rewound it and watched it again. I watched it twice in a row.
Wow.
And then like Incredible Hulk was okay. I like Captain America, the first Avenger, a lot more than everybody else does.
I think it's good. It's a little fantastical for Captain America, but
it's
really good.
And I do think Winter Soldier was better.
Oh, I love Winter Soldier.
But I think that, First Avenger was really, really amazing. I thought Thor was like, okay, it's not great, whatever.
Yeah.
But everyone was going like, oh man, you know, there's no way that Marvel's gonna be able to pull this off, cause after, at the end of Iron Man, when they're like, I need to talk to you about the Avenger Initiative, I was losing my goddamn mind.
Oh yeah.
I was like doing laps around the theater like, oh my god, they're doing the Avengers, oh my god, you guys, Jesus Christ. And fucking, I sat down, at the time I knew the guy who owned the theater, or who managed the theater by my house, so I was able to get tickets advance on like the Thursday night, sat down, and that shit blew my goddamn mind. Yeah. The first Avengers movie, because it all came together in a really, really cohesive way. It was like, there's elements of that story that are not amazing, but like, whatever. They brought in Hawkeye, which was cool. They brought Black Widow in a bigger capacity. The Hulk finally was cool.
Yeah.
right. They brought back Tom Hiddleston's Loki, which was the only good part about Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, in addition to everything else, it also kept going, because like they could have very easily been like, all right, we did Avengers and
that's it.
We're done. Good job, everybody. We did an amazing job. This was the best 4 years of our company's history. But they were like, fuck it. I'm going all in. It's Thanos now. Get fucked, everybody. And
yeah, right. There's no way they're gonna do Infinity.
And then yeah, exactly. And... like 7 years later, one of the goofiest comic book stories of all time, the fucking Infinity War, it turned out to be a really, really coherent and competent series of movies.
Yeah.
And so to this day, like there have been some stumbles along the way.
Ultron was bad.
Yeah, Age of Ultron was
Ultron.
Age of Ultron was okay.
James Spader.
James Spader was awesome.
Yeah. Age of Ultron, I am prepared to concede, was okay. And there's definitely been, like, I'm not a huge fan of Ant-Man. I thought the first Ant-Man movie was okay. But honestly, like, consistently for them to go 11 years and not have, like, a really, really significantly bad movie.
Like a DC level bad
movie. Basically,
like, that Hulk one is probably the worst.
Yeah,
and even that. I don't think it's terrible. I'm just like,
I would say Thor's probably the worst one. I would think. No, the first. The second Thor's.
I don't remember anything that happened in that movie.
That's fair. The Dark World is not an amazing movie.
Yeah.
But honestly, like I saw it in theaters once, and I've basically not had any urge to see it again. But I still remember it even being like a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know,
it wasn't great, but it was kind of where you start to see the humor that they started to like inject into his character a little bit more start to shine through in Dark World.
Absolutely. And so I think it's really cool that they've managed to go 11 years and 24 movies now or whatever and not really have one that's genuinely bad. Yeah. Because with DC, it was the first one and then also every movie after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have like the good one.
Yeah, there's Wonder Woman. Yeah. Wonder Woman was great. And it was like bad, 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 bad Wonder Woman, bad, bad Justice League.
Yeah.
And Justice League sucked.
Justice League did suck. Actually Aquaman though.
Aquaman's like,
I went into Aquaman expecting to hate it and I came out going, actually, you know what? I had fun with that.
Yeah.
It was dumb, but I had fun.
But that's the thing, and I agree with you. It wasn't good. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
And that was 100% on Jason Momoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Absolutely. As the weirdly perfect casting for the Aryan superfish.
Yeah. That's true.
So, Marvel, the Marvel universe in general, for me as a Marvel fan, because I was never a DC guy, as a Marvel fan, the Marvel Cinematic Universe absolutely lived up to the hype.
Yeah. Well, I've had some time to think, and my hype, which was a game that people would not shut up about for the longest time for me, was Horizon Zero Dawn.
Ooh.
And like, you know, had just gotten my PlayStation, but was still, you know, mostly focused on my Nintendo games.
Nintendo.
It's your fault.
Yeah, that's my bad.
But like,
turns out dyslexia is contagious.
Yeah. But I looked at this game and went, I don't know. I mean, do I really want to sink however many hours into this game? And I've heard good things, but I just don't know. And then,
I
finally caved and borrowed it from a friend and. Man, that was one of the only games that I have ever played where I finished the game and it was right when I got up to the last boss was when I really felt like I hit my stride with the skill set for the game. Where it's like, man, now I feel like a badass was right when I was taking on the final boss.
Yeah.
You take on the final boss, you finish the story, and it's like, hey, do you want to do New Game Plus? And I've never been so tempted to do New Game Plus in any game I've ever played.
I get that.
Was Nier that... And Zelda all 2017?
No. Nier was, or Horizon Zero Dawn was I think the year previous. Because Nier came out in February of whatever year it came out, and Horizon Zero Dawn was February or March, and I think it was the year before.
Because I just remember that year was like amazing.
Yeah, I remember it being, actually, you know what, you might be right, because I feel like I remember Horizon Zero Dawn going up against Zelda for Game of
2017.
The Year.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I think it was, that was like everything. And Neo, I think also that year.
Yeah.
Like, it was just wild.
There was a bunch of stuff. But yeah, so.
Odyssey, obviously.
For my pump up game, that was
Nier Automata was 2017.
Yep.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
But again,
also 2017.
Yep. That was a great year.
So good year for games, but yeah, it was just, I was too caught up playing Zelda and other things.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Didn't get around to it until 2018, I think it was, and went,
yeah,
same. Damn, I missed out on a whole year of, you know, this game and being able to talk to people about it, but. You know,
I get it.
That's literally me with Nier.
Yeah. March of next year, which is my birthday month, is apparently like, cause that's when we get Cyberpunk 2077, and like, four other really, really solid, like, AAA titles.
Is mm-hmm. that the Animal Crossing, too?
I think so.
I think yep.
I believe FF7 Remake is March of 20.
March
2020. So yeah. I'm just sitting here being like, I'm writing finals that month. Yeah. I'm writing finals for my degree for that month. And I have, like, four really, really amazing games just that I need to play.
Do the finals first, and then celebrate with
yeah.
games.
Oh, it's gonna be so bad!
Do you wanna lead us up with anti-hype?
Yeah, what did not live up to the hype?
Anti-hype, and a game that I was so stoked for. It came out around my birthday, and I had, like, pre-ordered the deluxe edition, and I was all stoked and hyped up for it, and I know that that you guys have flogged it to death on the podcast already, was Anthem.
Ooh.
Oh my god, I was so ready for Anthem to be an amazing game, and arguably, and I will still defend it to some point, there is some of the combat that I had a lot of fun in that game.
Sure.
But everything else was the shit.
Have you read, there was a really famous, a big article on Kotaku.
Yeah, the Kotaku article I did, and...
Dude, it's rough.
It was so savage, and it wasn't even just that people were picking apart about it, it was just the facts that were so rough to read, and like, oh my God, did they throw this together?
Most of the people who were shitting on it were like current or former BioWare employees too. Like, it wasn't even just like that article, for anyone who's never had a chance to read it, if you go and find the Kotaku article, it's just called like Why Anthem Failed or something like that. And it's literally like 10 or 12 pages of just every single step of the way where Anthem went horribly, horribly wrong.
Like, to the point where even before it was announced at whatever E3 they announced it was, I can't even remember when the original trailer dropped for it, it had a different name up until, like, the project name had a different name up until the day before their launch at E3.
Yeah.
And a bunch of the people who had worked on it didn't even know that the name had changed until the title card popped up at E3.
And they're literally going, oh, the game we're making is called Anthem? Yeah, they changed it, like, 6 days ago or
good
choice.
And like, I like so much of everything that the BioWare has done, even the games that were a little bit more rough around the edges, and like, I know that there's so much hate against EA for so many of their policies and so many of the ways that they put things together.
Yep.
But I had so much hope for this game that was gonna be a BioWare game that they were going to be releasing extra content for, but all of the extra content was going to be free because I was so sick of paying $40 every 3 months for the new patch of Destiny.
Yeah.
So,
that one.
Yeah. I hurt. Still,
yeah.
It's a source of blood.
That's extremely fair.
So that's my letdown.
All right. James, have you got one?
Boy, do I.
All right.
I was
Fire Emblem Fates.
No. I'll defend that title.
Yeah, that was fun.
Will you?
I will.
I would be prepared to debate you on that. I thought Fire Emblem Fates was really mediocre.
It had, we'll get into it later.
Yeah.
So this game, this trailer drop was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so prepared for it. Marvel versus Capcom
That trailer was so hype, dude.
I saw Mega Man X's foot and I was like, and I yelled.
You just knew from the foot?
You can tell though. Yeah, and
you can tell which one he is.
And then all of a sudden he gets blasted and you're like, what's happening? And then you see my boy Tony Stark looking shiny and fresh in his armor just posing against him. You're like, shit! And then all of a sudden you see like Ryu coming out of nowhere and Captain Marvel, you're like, what the fuck? And then it got worse from there.
Gameplay reveal later tonight. Oh my god!
And it was
so sad.
Like every single trailer that came out like after that was just heartbreak and like just like another notch down for me. I was like at 11 and then it more and more stuff came out and I got to zero and I took my pre-order off of it. It was
shout outs to Chun-Li's terrifying face.
Yeah, there's just something about it. Like the graphics looked really strange.
Like the voice acting was really not amazing either.
Yeah, the roster choice was kind of fucky, because I know they're trying to like aim it at like the MCU.
Yeah, there was a ton of Marvel cinematic tie-ins, but like no X-Men.
Yeah.
No.
Was it Wolverine?
No.
Really?
Yeah, they were trying. I was around the time where they were trying to like ignore all the Fox owned properties. Oh, they were Spider-Man because you can't. It's Marvel. Yeah, it's Spider-Man.
They were literally trying to do just MCU properties, and so they had almost the entire Guardians of the Galaxy, but they were missing all the X-Men. They were missing Spider-Man. They were missing Venom. And then like there was so much fucking outrage that finally they were like, "Hey, here's Venom."
After like Capcom's side of things were all pretty basic, and
yeah, it was not great.
No, and like, because like when you look at check out gameplay or look at the old rosters, there's a lot of different like figures and shapes of all the characters and everything. You got Cactus Man in Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Marvel vs. Capcom 3. You have Amada Ross, who's a dog.
Yep,
they're all humanoid. They're all basic humanoid shapes. And it was just so boring, and it wasn't just like the hype that Marvel is.
Yeah.
Marvel is super hype, and they just call it Marvel in the fighting game community. But like, it was just a lack of that, and it just looked drab. It was just so drab and meh, and it just broke me heart, because I was so looking forward to my boy X and his debut fighting game appearance, and it just tripped him.
Was it, do you think for you it was the graphic change, the move away from that 2D style comic book design graphics to the 3D rendered Street Fighter 4?
Well, like they did that in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yes.
It was great.
And actually, they styled it well. And like, that's fine. It looks fine. It looked great. And
I love UMBC 3.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Actually, I played a bunch of MVC 3, but I didn't even, like, thinking back upon it, I didn't even realize that it was a style change.
Yeah, it's 3D, but it looks and plays like a much higher speed Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Yeah. It was great. But yeah, this one's drab, sad, and just did not retain my interest at all. Now, many members of the FTC have argued that it's still really fun. And I've heard it has very solid combat mechanics, but who wants to watch that?
Yeah, why would you? I mean, like,
it looks bad.
Like, you know what a really, really fun game that has fucking garbage graphics is Pac-Man. And it's like, you know what? We've moved on, guys. It's been 30 years. Mm-hmm. We can't get by on a game that's just fun anymore.
And like, Capcom's probably one of my favorite like game companies or game publishers, and Marvel's my favorite like comic stuff, so this is a dream marriage for me already, and just to see it not do as well as I'd have liked it to, it just hurt. It just took the wind out of my sails, y'all. And the final fucking nail in this thing is at the same show, Dragon Ball Fighter Z got announced, and it looked like the hottest pair of tits you ever done saw.
And it was good tits.
And it was! It was so good. My crew, we're all still playing it. It's great.
I'm pretty sure you and I were hanging out that day. I'm pretty sure we were side by side, because I remember watching these trailers and remember you getting dissuaded with MVC, Ultimate, or Infinite, and then seeing fighters and just going, see, this is what NBC should look like.
Yes, like
that look is so, that style is so good.
Oh, Arxis is on.
Dude, Ultimate Game Marriage, just like take all the Marvel's Capcom stuff, make Arxis do it, and that would be amazing. I guarantee you, sell a bajillion copies.
I believe it.
Anyways, yeah, I've ranted on the sad note long enough.
All right. I will
Scotula.
Go.
Who's next to be disappointed?
I'll go. I've complained about this on the podcast any number of times, but the thing that least lived up to the hype for me of all time, the last game that I ever pre-ordered, ladies and gentlemen, Watch Dogs.
How do you feel about Legion?
Did you like watching that dog take a dump on your lawn and walking away?
Legion, I'm gonna ignore that. Legion looks so, it looks really fun, and I'm so scared. This is the problem.
Buy it after the price drop.
Yeah, you know what it is I need to, the reason that I no longer pre-order games is because I don't trust trailers anymore.
That's fair.
The trailer for Watch Dogs was so unbelievably hype. And it was a gameplay trailer.
Yeah.
Which is why I was like, I thought I was safe, because this was like 2012, back when I didn't think that they were lying about that shit. It was like the style was really beautiful, and it was like dynamic. Like it had a, everything had kind of like a, so it was in the trailer, it was raining, and but everything had like a really nice sheen on it. Like it was interacting with the rain in a really cool way. And like there was all these like cool things with like clubs with girls who were wearing boxes on their heads that had QR codes on them. And like then the hacking mechanic had like a really stylized UI thing going on. It was really badass, and there was cars like 100 cars on the road that all crashed in like really unique ways when the traffic lights got hacked. And it was just really, it made you feel like you were really slick and amazing. And I pre-ordered it immediately because I was like, fuck it, I'm going to forget and I want to make sure that I remember this shit. And then I got it and there was so much wrong with it. It was stiff. The driving feels like shit. The hacking was pulled so far back that it was almost embarrassing.
Yikes.
There's a point in the trailer where to escape, you shut down all the power in the city. Mm-hmm. Like all the lights just go dead. And you can do that in Watch Dogs, but it's like the last ability that you get in the last 5% of the game.
Dang.
Yeah.
And it's not even that useful because like people have flashlights and shit, and so you still get caught. It's just an aesthetic thing. It's fucking so bad. And it was so, so deeply disappointing. And then it turned out, on the PC version at least, now I got it on console, so I was just hooped regardless.
Yep.
But on the PC version, like a lot of the like shaders and textures and like stuff that they had diddled to make that trailer as pretty as it was, still existed in the game files. They were just disabled by default.
Right. I remember that. I remember that. There was a few articles about like it having like fake caps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause there was public fucking outrage because they were like, this is garbage. So people started digging through the fucking game and they're
data
like,
mined it. Yeah.
Oh, it's not garbage. I mean, it's still garbage, you guys, but surprise, all you have to do is like type three lines into this one, fucking file that you can open in Notepad. And all of a sudden it looks and plays exactly like it did in the trailer.
Wow.
But it got throttled for either to bring the max specs down to make it more accessible as a consumer product, or to keep it more in line with the console people so the console people wouldn't get upset about how shitty it was.
Well, PC Master Races are gonna do it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Just let them do it.
And Watch Dogs 2, I played a little bit of Watch Dogs 2. I didn't buy it. I borrowed it from recurring guest Lee Trudell. Or maybe I didn't. I borrowed it from somebody. He offered to lend it to me. I don't remember.
Do you still have it?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I only do that to Greg.
Okay.
But I borrowed Watch Dogs 2 from somebody, played it for like a day, and then gave it back because it was just like fine. And so now I'm so fucking worried about Legion because I'm like, this looks like a cool concept, but it looks like a cool concept that has been tacked onto a foundation that I don't like.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And that's what I'm nervous about is that like, it doesn't matter how slick this fucking thing is if the gunplay is still stiff and the driving is still awkward and like it controls really weirdly and the hacking hasn't been fixed because it hadn't really been fixed in Watch Dogs 2. So, that's my conundrum for the next year.
We'll see.
I'm not going to pre-order it. I just need to wait for fucking reviews to come out.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, Tori.
It's me.
What you got?
Well, first let me just say the answer, and then I'll say my answer.
Okay.
So the answer is, oh my god, No Man's Sky. I almost forgot. That's the answer.
No Man's Sky.
Like, we don't need to go there, but yeah, everybody knows.
That's fair, I'll give you that.
So I kind of have two, but they are both good games. I just was super, super disappointed.
Uh-huh.
Twilight Princess. Followed up my favorite game of all time. I couldn't freaking see anything because it was so dark, and I did not have fun with that game.
I would pick Skyward Sword before I pick Twilight Princess.
That's what I'm saying. I know that Twilight Princess doesn't deserve this.
No,
but
I'll give it to
me,
you.
I just...
I'll give it to you. Twilight Princess was okay.
So disappointed.
Super long.
Yeah. I might like it now, or if it hadn't been that exact set of circumstances, but it was,
Yeah.
And then Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah. Is Kingdom Hearts 3 disappointing?
I haven't played it yet.
Yeah. I actually don't know anything about it. I haven't heard any reviews or...
Fine.
The only thing that I've heard about it is that by the end of it, it gets to the point where it's pandering to fan service.
I wouldn't even say
not necessarily
fan
service,
yes.
Not fan service in like the traditional sense of what we think that means, you know, just like, oh, girls in bikinis.
Yeah,
and
it's
that
not
something.
Just
but,
titties
like,
everywhere.
It's just, it's fan service is like yeah. what you want to happen to the characters happens
yeah.
to the characters.
It's like
even
reading
though,
fan fiction instead
yeah,
of.
Yeah.
No, that's absolutely true.
Sora becomes a god and saves.
No, Sora and Kairi end up. No, wait, hold on. Let me guess. I can do this.
Okay, you're guessing.
I'm guessing. I have no idea what's going on.
All right.
With the full understanding.
Spoilers, maybe.
Well, no, we don't even have to confirm or deny. I'm just going to start. I'm going to run down the list as someone who has played all of Kingdom Hearts 1, all of Kingdom Hearts 2, and like 10 seconds of Chain of Memories.
Oof, good.
And a little bit of the DS games off sure. and on.
Okay, I am going to confirm or deny, but not to the podcast, just to the people at
yeah,
the table.
We'll do thumbs up for true, thumbs down
yes.
for not true.
So go for it, and everybody else, no spoilers.
So here's the thing. The fan fiction answer is that Riku and Kairi end up together, because everyone knows that fucking Snape and Hermione fucking shit. But the actual answer is probably that Sora and Kairi end up together, I should say. Gosh, the kingdom is totally restored. There's a big... Because I know... Okay, so at the end of... This is spoilers for Kingdom Hearts 2, but that game's fucking ages old.
Ugh,
so just deal with it. At the end of Kingdom Hearts 2, if you get 100%, then you learn about something called like a Keyblade War that's on the horizon. So that probably happens and does some...
That's
things.
The plot of Birth by Sleep.
Is it?
So all that's right. already been dealt with.
Okay, whatever. Whatever. Anyway,
there's too many Kingdom Hearts games. Is what
yeah,
I'm
yeah there's Kingdom Hearts 1, Kingdom Hearts 2, then
no, you've
80,000 DS
you've already
games.
Missed one.
Yeah, I know. I missed Chain of Memories. But there's, and then 80,000 DS games where they're
and
like...
2.8.
Yeah. You know what they did is they did the Devil May Cry problem, which is that they finished Kingdom Hearts 2 and they went, I have no idea how to progress forward, so we're going to just chuck the middle full of stuff.
Yeah.
Shoutouts to Devil May Cry 2 and eventually Devil May Cry 5, because I waited so fucking long.
But yeah, so the problem with, like, the worlds are boring. Well, not all of the worlds. Most of the worlds are boring, and it's just like, look, we remade Pixar movies in Unreal Engine.
Woo!
Look at that. That's the Tangled scene, but Sora's there.
Well, look, it's Woody.
Yeah. Yeah, that, okay, that part was good. Big
okay.
Hero 6 was amazing,
okay.
and Pirates was great.
I was going to say, I've seen, because I watched a Twitch stream of it for about 20 minutes before I realized, like, wait a second, I'm planning on playing this at some point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they were on the Pirates of the Caribbean thing, and it looked dope.
The Pirates footage, even from the trailers and whatnot, looked good. I mean, I know that the trailers are trailers, and you can only judge that as far as you can throw it.
Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, wait, but like, please. Tangled was boring. Frozen, you just climb a mountain 4 times, and Elsa kicks you off of it 3 times, and you have to rebuild Olaf twice.
Oh. That sounds like...
Do you want to build a snowman?
No.
Honestly, though, that sounds like filler rather than... Like, that sounds like the game wasn't
well,
long
also,
enough.
Also, there isn't that many worlds.
Yeah.
Like, you don't go back to... Except for Pirates, and there's a little bit of Hercules at the beginning, which I don't know why.
Right.
Which they call 2.9, by the way.
Oh.
So the first hour of the game, you're still not there, even though you've waited 20 years or whatever. But, like, and again, I won't say it, but the ending is the poopiest thing ever. Like, I'm a terrible writer, but this was beyond.
Didn't God. Square just announce at E3 that they were going to be doing
DLC?
Story DLC for it, too?
They
because
did.
They still couldn't finish it.
Well, but they finished it, so
guys,
they can't undo it now.
Welcome to the problem that is Tetsuya Nomura's brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever seen anything that he's ever created and or slash listened to this podcast for more than 10 seconds? We had this problem with Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah.
We had this problem with Kingdom Hearts in the first place.
Yeah.
Because again, I, you know, like, okay, so last week on the podcast, I challenged Kurt to explain the ending of Evangelion to me.
I took notes.
Yes, which we're prepared for. Like, I would almost challenge you, Tori, to explain to me what happens in Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, baby. I have spent hours reading all the in-game content. I've played every game. I've watched the videos, like the plot explaining videos, and I still get lost.
Yeah, because
like, I have put a vested interest in knowing what happens in Kingdom Hearts, and even I don't fully understand. There's a million plot holes.
That's my answer as well, which is that I know what happens in Kingdom Hearts.
Apparently not.
And I still don't know what happens in Kingdom Hearts. Like, I'm even just the first game.
Yeah.
Like, you are flung from world to world, and like, it kind of makes sense. And it's one of those things where when it's happening, you're like, okay, I understand kind of what we're doing here. And then you get to the end and you're, someone's no, like, yeah, someone's like, oh, that was awesome. What's that game about? And you're like,
yeah,
I got to beat shit up with Mickey.
Yeah. Not you don't even get to do that in the first one.
No. Riku spends time with Mickey.
Yeah.
You've got Goofy and Donald.
Yay. Yeah.
It's like, well.
For 16 more games.
Oh.
So welcome to the He Continue podcast, everyone. Episode 143.
Yay.
Yeah. Woo. I'm your host, Scott Watmo. Joining me as always is...
Hey, James, baby, shorts.
And joining us for at least the month of July is special guest emergency backup Greg Torrey.
Hello.
And do you want a cool nickname? We should give you a cool nickname.
Get a cool nickname.
And special guest, cool nickname, Kurt.
There, yeah.
Just in quotations,
cool nickname.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
There you go. We're the number one gaming variety podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Listen Notes.
Yeah.
Hey, Kurt, why are we the number one gaming variety podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Listen Notes?
Because we are not afraid to share our subjective opinions or objective opinions of what we think is good and or bad, no matter what people are going to whine at this vote.
That's probably the most wholesome answer that we've ever received to that question.
Aww. Yay!
Because it's usually just like, fuck you, that's why!
Also acceptable.
Yeah, get fucked, idiots. We're great.
We rock. Yeah, peace out. Bye. Yeah.
Oh, woo! You know what? That was right at the 40-minute mark.
Wow.
Yeah.
We got there.
Fuck.
I was watching. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, get man. Fucked, yeah, we got there. Get fucked, idiots. You've been listening for 40 minutes already.
This who is gonna be are a, these guys?
Yeah. This is going to be for anyone who hasn't figured it out yet by either listening for 40 minutes or looking at how long this episode is. It's going to be a long one.
Yep.
Because Comic-Con happened.
Yep.
And so we've got a lot to cover.
All right.
So we're just going to get into it. We're going to go into weeks.
I'm going to speed shit out my week right
now.
My
week was long, so James, you go ahead.
All right.
It was also a long week, because...
It's true.
It's been a week and a half, really.
Yeah, that's also why I apologize. I would love to tell you guys that this podcast is late, because I was waiting for all the Comic-Con news. It's mostly that I forgot to schedule a recording of this podcast.
But hey, we're here.
Yeah, but my excuse is for when Cole decides to text me about this and complain. Is that I was waiting for all the Comic-Con news to disseminate.
There you go.
So there you go.
I take it. So, I watched Emperor's New Groove.
Yay!
Which one?
It's a great movie.
All I watched of them, the two.
Have you ever seen Emperor's New Groove before?
No.
Really?
Not until recently.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
Dude, that's one of the best Disney movies, is the first one at least.
It was a fun time. I really like Kronk and Ezra.
Yzma.
Yep. Thank you.
Look to me.
Yes.
Kurt, help.
Disney boy, help.
Yeah. Disney man, help me. Those two are really fun. And I like how she's not really that evil. She just wants to rule. Like,
yeah.
That's all.
She has a fairly, like, reasonable set of motivations.
I mean, she's almost as evil as Kuzco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Really. She's just drawn evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the second one.
It's not.
It's past.
Do they get David Spade again?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
For, like, a few things. It's like, hey, remember this dingus? And he's out.
Okay.
I played Devil May Cry 5.
Yay! All of it?
No.
Okay.
The Devil Trigger.
Devil Trigger. Much to the dismay of my good friend Douglas, I only used gun during my entire time playing it.
For real?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And he...
It was just to his chagrin. It was just...
I did it
to put his head in his
hands. I did it despite him. Get fucked, Doug.
I'm gonna shit on Doug later.
Yeah. Fuck you, Doug, that's why.
I'm gonna tag him in this podcast so we can hear us talking shit about him.
All
right. I'm almost done Persona Q2.
Yay!
I got to the last thing and I was like, oh, finally, we can leave. And then someone's like, hey, heel turn, not, you can't leave, shut up. And then I'm doing another dungeon now.
Fair.
Yeah. Went to see Dinosaur Bones and Drumheller.
Yeah.
Okay. I did this recently also.
I haven't been in that museum in a long time.
Me neither.
I have a bunch of stuff to it.
I haven't gone since 7th grade, and Kim and I keep talking about this as like a day trip that we need to do.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's nice. There's lots of cool stuff now.
You can see how big you are next to a T-Rex leg.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Also, you get to pass by Bicycur.
I mean, I've passed
by Bicycur. Podcast fame. Yeah. I was so excited. There's like a weird
mascot. Yes, I passed by it. And I was with no one who would understand. And I was like...
I just explained it to my friend. I'm like, too bad we're talking about Bicycur now.
God, Bicycur is...
It's all something.
Right. I don't know if anybody who listens to this podcast is in Bicycur. If you are, I'm sorry and also surprised that you have internet.
Yeah.
Because I feel like most of the stuff that comes out of Bicycur is bashed into stone still, for Christ's sake.
Bashed into the walls of the hoodoos.
Yeah. But for those of you that are in Bicycur or near Bicycur, just Nah. Just nah.
Just not
nah. Nah.
Also, I watched Redline again, but that's more your week.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk more about it in your week. And shit, y'all, Fire Emblem's coming soon, and I'm super hyped for it. I got my collector's edition. I want to play it the most.
Yeah.
That's my week. Mic drop. Because we got lots of stuff to talk about.
I'm so ready for fucking Fire Emblem.
Dude, I am so fucking ready for
it. Comes out on Friday.
I'm going to play it at least four times.
Yeah.
Probably more.
Because well, you got to play it at least. You got to play it at least three.
Yes.
Right? Because you got to pick each house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have to redo your
And there's like
one.
100 yeah. of husband, and there's like 100 husbandos and waifus
so
to figure out.
So you can still marry.
Yes.
Yeah. Just no kids.
Both
there
genders.
Is still a relation. There's still
a
relationship.
There's like a limit though on the gay.
A limit on the gay. The gay slider's only at six.
That's what I've heard. I'm just reporting the news.
Yeah, no, it's apparently from the articles that have been coming out, apparently the relationship aspect is fucking spicy.
Great.
Ooh, I love
it's
it.
Really good.
I don't even want to know any more about it.
I don't know anything
I've
more about
so
it.
I've gone so blind to this game. It's great. I watched two trailers and I didn't look at any, like, people like, oh, this thing's really cool in this game. Like, shut up. I don't want to hear anything about it. It's like, check out this awesome mechanic. I'm like, put that zipper on your mouth and zip it up and throw away that zipper, you idiot.
I can vouch for that. He didn't even learn the characters' names until
this
week.
Until Fire Emblem Heroes, it fucked me up as well. God damn it.
Dude, I got Claude.
I got Edelgard.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Nice. That was my free draw, and I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And that was great. And and that's the one I was wanted to go with anyway, so now I'm
dude,
a yellow
so
deer,
cool.
man.
All right. You know what we should do, though?
I was so mad.
Which house are you going to start with?
I don't know
yellow
yet.
Deer people.
I don't know.
I told you were going to go with the yellow deer people.
Yes, you did.
If you want to start with Edelgard, I'll do Dimitri.
All right, I'll pick Edelgard. Yeah, yeah.
And I get to pick whatever I want.
And you can
do
whatever
you want.
He didn't
point at me.
So. All right, okay, fine. You get to pick whatever you want.
If
you
there's
can
a if
Guard
there's
then.
Like a Revelations type option, you
but
can
I'll
do
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you'll get the
I
Revelations
don't
option.
Side with anyone.
You'll get the Revelations option after you beat the game three times in a row, James.
Shit.
You're right. Three House of Story.
I'm so excited to like just picking husbands is like my favorite thing.
Dude, oh, it's gonna be so good.
Man, if I will absolutely marry anybody, depending on if you're great or not.
Or if you're voiced by Matt Murdock.
Yes. Yes.
That's a good answer.
1 second.
I don't care if you know or not. I don't want to know, and I will
I don't,
find
I
him.
Have no idea.
I will find him, and
you'll
I'll
find
marry
your boy Matt.
I will find him, and I'll marry him. I'm still waiting to marry Yusuke.
I was going
to
say, you'll find him and just be like, Yusuke, finally.
Yeah.
You know he's in there somewhere.
He's somewhere.
Bless him, he's in there somewhere.
Matt, you're in there somewhere.
He'll find you, Matt.
I'll find you, and I'll marry you.
That's right.
So that's my week. We gushed a little bit longer than Fire Emblem. That's fine.
It's okay.
Yeah,
literally, next week on this podcast is literally just going to be the Fire Emblem cast.
Yep, I'm down for that.
I'm down.
All right.
Cool, Fire Emblem cast next week.
Tell you what, let's go this way. Kurt. Let's get into some shit.
Okay, you ready for these? Okay, so I'll start off with the easy stuff. The easy stuff here. So
first of all, Kurt, you finished Evangelion.
I finished Evangelion.
Yes.
And I have notes.
I'm very, not sorry about the notes. I'm very sorry that you finished Evangelion.
You know what? Okay, so I said this a little bit before, but like the first 10 episodes were pretty alright.
Yes.
But I kind of fell off after that point, and I was just like, you know what? I've done enough of weird things and monster of the week mechs, and I just wanted to break it up a little bit, and I was like, you know what, I want to see what is going to be next on my anime list that I might want to try watching a couple episodes of. So I started watching Demon Slayer.
Right.
Because Greg wouldn't shut up about it.
It's true.
So I started watching Demon Slayer, and it was great, and I binged 10 episodes of Demon Slayer, and then I went, man, I really got to finish Evangelion. So I then went and committed in the last week. All I did is just, like, the only show I was really watching, save for watching things with the wife, was watching Evangelion to finish.
Oh, bless your heart.
So I will get to my notes on those episodes first. As far as games I'm playing, I finished Katana Zero on a few multiple runs. It was really fun. The only thing I haven't done is the secret boss, which I'm working on.
Yes.
It does not change anything to play as the company's boy. They still end up crapping all over you. So
I have heard that.
Spoilers.
Yes.
Whatever.
We've been talking about Katana Zero for 4 weeks.
Yeah. I started playing Persona 5 today because I'm 2 years behind the times. I'm excited to get onto it. I finished my first day of school and got through a castle.
Yay!
Woo!
It's great.
More to follow.
Hang out with you, your boy Ryuji.
Yep. And I played a bunch of music, which was super good. That was another busy part of my week.
Nice.
But
Brace yourselves.
You asked me for a plot synopsis.
Yes.
On,
so I want you to. I just wanted to see if you could explain the plot of Evangelion.
Okay.
Alien 3.
So I did the final five episodes. So
okay.
I did episode 21 through 26.
Sure.
Right. Spoilers.
And spoilers.
Spoilers for the 30-year-old anime.
30-year-old
that
anime
everyone's seen.
But you know what? Lots of people are might be watching it for the first time on Netflix right now.
Oh,
so
that's true.
You know
actually.
What? If you have not finished it yet, you've got.
God,
10 minutes to try and this out.
My God, hurry. You're
okay.
going to hear about all the nothing
okay.
that happens.
Okay. All right. So, episode, start with episode 21.
Lay it on me.
So, there are main characters that you hear about.
Yes.
Episode 21 is when you find out the backstory of all of the secondary characters who you don't necessarily need to know about.
Yep.
It adds context. It, like, fleshes out motivations. That's all great.
Great.
Cool. It also... details the forming of the company that is Nerve.
Yes.
And Shinji's parents.
Wait, yes. Pause. Do yes. you know the big spoiler of Eva?
Getting the robot, Shinji.
Do you know about the robot?
It's an angel.
No, okay.
No,
go
they're
on.
Called angels.
They're called angels.
They're
okay.
not actually. They're not
okay,
actually.
I know the big spoiler.
Okay.
James is not.
So, episode 22 is a
yep.
focus on Asuka, which is the girl with the red hair.
Yes.
With the red, with, she's in, Eva Unit 2.
Yes.
She's
German?
She is German. Well, she's German slash Japanese.
Yes.
Of course, with the name like Asuka.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a huge focus on her childhood trauma, which is what causes her character to act and develop the way that she has.
Yep.
Her confidence wanes and she falls under a psychological attack, which causes major problems because you cannot pilot your Eva if you do not have your shit together.
Which,
apparently.
Of course, is why they get teenagers to do
yes,
this.
Yes, apparently.
Yes.
Because that makes great sense.
Yes.
But
absolutely.
Anyway.
The stablest people of us all,
yeah,
the teenagers.
So this girl who has serious problems because some really unfortunate things happened to her in her childhood, things start going badly for her and she gets, you know, starts doubting herself because she's supposed to be this super badass pilot and she starts feeling like she's getting left in the dust and she should be able to do these things and she can't do that. And then she gets, oh man, and this was the stupidest part. I actually laughed out loud in this episode. She falls under psychological attack and the psychological attack takes form in a ray of sunshine that comes down out of the angel that's attacking her from orbit. And the psychological attack is the Hallelujah chorus of Handel's Messiah
yep.
on repeat.
Uh-huh.
Which, as a church-going boy, I just could not but just put my head in my hands and just shake. It was...
I mean, you know you're shitting on it, but at the same time, you do sound awfully psychologically attacked.
I felt it personally.
Yeah.
I felt personally attacked there. But anyway, so that was episode 22.
Okay.
Episode 23, the angel's attacks progress from psychological to physiological integration. Ray, the blue hair.
Yes. The
Ray,
one that everyone knows.
The one that everyone knows from all of the...
Porn. Let's be
all
honest.
All of
here.
The everything
yep.
for it. Sacrifices herself, but somehow survives.
Yep.
Somehow, in quotations.
Uh-huh.
They get to that. We learn that she is an artificial person, but not exactly on why or how she's an artificial person. Just that she's an artificial person who kind of looks like Shinji's mom.
In the most shocking twist of all, the girl who physically is incapable of showing emotion turned out to be kind of a robot.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
okay,
she's had three bodies, I think, at that point, and they're able to upload some sort of form of memories, but there are some things that she can and cannot remember.
Sure.
So that was that. They find a whole, I guess, fish tank full of empty shells for her,
uh-huh.
and they scrap the fish tank.
Yep.
So now she's the last one. Okay. Episode 24 is the last. So after a psychological attack and a physiological attack, the last angel shows up. Surprise, he's the fifth pilot of the Eva units.
What?
The homo boy.
He's the homo boy
the
that
homo
Shinji
no
falls,
homo boy.
Falls in love with in
yeah.
5 seconds.
Well, I,
which,
yeah. The Netflix,
yeah.
even the subtitles
yeah.
tone that down.
They tone
read,
it down a little
but,
bit. It,
yeah.
It's less of, I'm love you and more of the, I like you and I think that you're worthy of my grace.
Yeah.
Apparently is,
wow.
I don't know what the euphemism
Ooh.
Is there, but, Which I kind of hated because it was, well, I understand because Shinji's character is all about I'm lonely and I want connection, but I'm shy and don't know how to deal with people.
Yep.
And all of a sudden this guy shows up out of nowhere and just like, hey, I really like you and I think that you're this famous, like this super awesome dude and I'm going to tell you that you're awesome. And apparently that's the first time that Shinji's ever been complimented is in his entire life.
Uh-huh.
So that means a lot to him. And then he's an angel and they have to kill him, which Shinji just then does and, you know, torments himself about it for the next three episodes because he had to kill this.
So they kill the final angel this early?
Yep.
Okay.
So he dies in that episode.
Gotcha.
This is where... Okay.
Should the show have ended there?
Maybe.
Okay.
So episode 25 and 26, I found about this after I wrote this synopsis.
Uh-huh.
Apparently the anime ran out of money.
Yeah.
So there was no big final conflict. There was no big giant mech battle to finish everything off that you would hope there was. There was none of that.
At least they didn't eat Inuyasha.
Yeah. I'm going to read this word for word as I wrote this.
Please.
Episode 25,
bless
episode
your heart,
26,
dude.
I just put them together. Uh-huh. So. Episode 25. An episode, an attempt at trying to understand the hole in the human heart, why sadness and loneliness and things like that take hold. That was 20 minutes of cuts of episode 25.
Yep.
It was a whole lot of, why am I the way I am? Why am I sad? Why am I lonely? Why am I, why do I push people away? And it was just flashes of internal cuts between Asuka, Rei, and Shinji back and forth over and over again.
Yep.
And it got really screwy.
Yep.
And episode 26 just fed off that. Okay. Who's ready for some philosophy?
Oh, boy, I sure am.
Do it in a funny voice.
Philippine finding... Okay.
This would really help me out if you could do this entire philosophical discussion while you sound like Mickey Mouse, please.
Resistance is pain! Ho-ho! Okay. Self-hate and finding personal value in the things that you that you do to protect yourself from loneliness. By taking those things upon yourself, you put the belief of value into your perception of other people to guard yourself from the whole of loneliness and sadness. To fulfill the intrinsic cravings of contact and acceptance.
Yep.
I get to flip over my page.
Oh, good.
Episode 26 continued.
Uh-huh.
If nothing exists outside of yourself, you cannot determine the basis of what makes up you. Because there's a whole section where Shinji just ends up floating around in the void.
Yep.
And people just talk at him about how that's freedom. And then he starts losing sense of what his self is. And then he ceases to exist because he has nothing to base what his existence is.
Uh-huh. Pile of them.
learning about the strength and self-actualization by altering your internal contrived truth through a shift in perspective and what it's about in cognitive behaviors. Can I word that better?
Who knows? Gonna level with you. It's the end of Evangelion, so it's entirely possible that you can't.
I'm gonna try one more time.
I believe in you.
So learning about the strength, the personal strength gained from self-actualization by altering your internal contrived truth. So the truth that you believe about what other people think about you. So an example of that would be like, oh, well, like a rainy day makes you feel sad and a sunny day makes you feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's something that is pushed upon you as a belief and where, you know, cheery things can happen on a rainy day.
Right.
That's a contrived truth. Mm-hmm. So talking about a perceptive contrived truth that what people put into themselves. So it's all of this self-hate that Shinji believes that all of these people hate him for no reason and he doesn't understand why.
Sure.
Okay, that was much better.
Cool.
Adjusting that contrived truth through a shift in perspective. Like I said, you can change that by talking about like, oh, well, you can find joy in a rainy day.
Other stuff. Yeah.
In other things. And that idea is cognitive behavioralism.
Yeah. It's like 101 psychology.
It is like psychology 101.
Yeah.
That was what episode 26 was about.
Yep.
That was it.
I have a question.
That was the end of the show.
I have a question.
Yes.
When was the congratulations?
First of all, nicely done.
That was at the very end of it. So
okay,
that
so
was,
he figures it out.
So that's
then,
when
okay.
he figures it out. They're all applauding and congratulating him, and that's just talking about They just said, congratulations, you fixed it. You made a shift in your internal perception, and it's amazing on how much that tiny little shift will make a big difference in your life.
I almost want to watch the show more now.
You know what? As random and strange as the show was, I actually enjoyed the last two episodes. Even though I felt like I was watching nothing, I felt like I took something away from it.
Okay.
Which is sometimes when you finish watching an anime, you just feel like, well, I got empty enjoyment out of that, but that was about it. I actually felt like it was like, you know what? There are some people who could watch this, and it might actually make a small difference in their life.
I would recommend for anyone who actually wants to go and watch Evangelion, first of all, I don't agree with you, but if you must, then go ahead. I would recommend, I was just looking this up, so Evangelion has a pretty bad reputation for how its ending was bungled.
Well, and then there's movies.
It was rough.
The show has been remade as a series of movies.
Yes.
Called Rebuild of Evangelion, which I was just looking up. And I should say, almost all of it has been remade, but they are just it's a series of four movies and only three of them have been released so far. There's a fourth one coming out next year.
Sure.
I'll wait then.
The reason that the fourth one is coming out next year, because the last one was in 2012.
Which was the title of that one? Because I, after I finished watching the show, I watched the movie that was titled The End of Evangelion.
Yes, so that's the movie from 1997. That's the one where they were just like, oh, I realized we didn't actually end this show, so we should put an ending on it. No, so this is a reboot of the whole series. As a series of four movies instead. And they are called Evangelion 1.0, You Are Not Alone, Evangelion 2.0, You Cannot Advance, Evangelion 3.0, You Cannot Redo, and the fourth one is called Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.0. Because for some reason they can't do four names that make sense together.
They're taking hints from Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. But apparently, from what I've heard of the people who have seen at least the three movies that still exist, it's apparently a much more streamlined, better told with better dialogue. The philosophy is sort of more integrated on a minute by minute basis rather than just fucking backloading the entire series with all of it. And according to this wiki page that I'm reading, when the fourth one comes out, apparently they've literally just axed the ending of Evangelion, the first Evangelion series, and they've just done a completely new ending.
Okay.
That is slightly more coherent.
Man, I wish somebody told me about that before I put myself through 26 episodes of this show.
Well, Kurt, if I told you about that, then you wouldn't have put yourself through 26 episodes of the show.
That's true.
I totally could have and chose not to.
Dude, next year when it comes out, we'll do it together.
Yeah.
All right.
It's apparently like the entire series, all four of them together.
And then you can tell me what's different.
Okay.
And better.
All right. Four of them together is apparently 300-ish minutes, which is like 5 hours.
Yeah, okay. That's not bad.
All right. Okay. Sure.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was all right for the most part of it. it's a lot of really excessive nudity that I don't know if really counts as nudity because they don't act. It's just like peach-colored frames.
Yeah. There's I remember because I watched it for the first time, Evangelion, when I was, I think, 12.
Yeah.
And at the time, the only anime that I had seen was like Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon, Inuyasha.
Yeah.
I swear there was tits on Inuyasha once and then they never showed it again.
There was a little wiener.
Yeah. I feel like I remember when I was like 10 years old, because Inuyasha was on YTV at late night.
And Zappix.
I swear there was an episode of Inuyasha where there was vag in it, and then it got censored, or they never aired that episode again, or something like that. I swear to God, I saw it.
There was penis.
I don't remember any.
Okay, it was Shippo, who people think is a girl, but he's a boy,
right?
And he had a little like two U's penis.
Yes,
and you probably thought that was a vagina.
No, it was Kagome's that I'm thinking of. And it was like a hot spring, and I swear it happened, but maybe it didn't.
I don't think so.
Anyway.
I feel like I would have remembered that.
But when I saw, Evangelion, I will say the nudity and the implied nudity.
Yeah.
And even just in the very beginning of the series when Shinji falls over and lands on Rei's tit.
Yeah.
Which is
the stupid anime trope.
Well,
because
it was the 90s and that's what you did. As a 12-year-old boy, that was a very eye-opening experience.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it was not a good eye-opening experience because the fucking show is just so bad to me.
That was the only experience I had. Not that experience, but
Not that specifically.
The only experience that I had with Evangelion before this point was just like, it was just like the deepest, darkest pits of like Newground, where it's just like, oh, I don't want to be here.
Just the
I want happy Flash games. I don't want this.
The sheer volume of pornography.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So, as I've grown up and matured and grown older, I don't say want to say I'm more comfortable with that, because it was still just
you
like...
You just have a context
for it. I just have context for it, which even watching things like Love, Death, and Robots is... It's changed in,
the
in
way,
media.
The way that I've described it to people now that I'm older is that I still like boobs. I'm very pro-boob in general. But,
who isn't?
Yeah, exactly, right? But boobs are no longer a novelty to me, is what it is, right? Like, it's not like I have to go... really that far out of my way to see a boob.
Yeah, but you have, like, boobs on call.
Yeah.
I think there are still people for whom boobs are novel.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like...
That's like my whole thing.
But it's a, fair enough. But it's like a context thing, you know? Because it's like, if you're, like, hanging out with your friends, or you're, like, at a house party, and everyone's just kind of chill and having some drinks or whatever, and then suddenly there's boobs, it's like, oh my god, you guys.
It's like bonus boobs.
Yeah. This guys, oh my god.
This party went crazy!
But, like, if you're, like, with your partner, and boobs are there, then it's like,
and worse.
Yeah, and I'm not upset about it. I'm, again, I'm very pro-boob, but at no point have I seen Kim topless and gone, oh my god, oh my god,
hang on, I need to text with my friends.
Oh my god, you guys, oh my god.
You guys, I saw boobs today.
Right, you just get that text, like, every single day for the rest of your life.
Scott, we know.
Scott, did you? Yeah, you've been married for 14 years, Scott. Well, did you see boobs today?
The internal total world is just going to give you a high five, though. There you go.
Fair enough.
Nice.
Yeah, no, that's fair. There's a significant part of my body that is still like 13 years old.
Yeah, you have to remember those parts of your childhood and go, man, that kid was stupid, and grow from that. So
I think everybody's pro boob.
Yeah,
I'm pro boob.
If you're anti boob, don't leave a comment. Because I don't want to hear
from you.
If you're pro boob, leave a comment.
Yeah, that's the title of this podcast.
That's very good.
All right. Is there anything else in your week?
I think that was pretty well it. It's been busy otherwise.
All right. Cool. Hey, Tori.
Heyo.
Hey, how's your week been, Tori?
Oh man, it was busy. Yeah? I'm gonna hammer through it all, but all right. I did some stuff specifically for the podcast. And
yeah,
did
you did.
Regular stuff.
Hey, speaking of people hurting themselves for my amusement.
No, we're going to get there last.
All right.
We got to work up to it. So, I'm not going to harp on Boruto anymore. I just want to tell you that in the most recent episode, they meet a lady named Remen, and then they eat lemon burgers.
Oh.
The end. Okay.
By the way, just for the record, people are still mad at you about Boruto.
It's fine.
But I don't care anymore. Yep. We're past it.
One day we'll do that, but not today.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that throwdown. I'm still waiting for
I can picture in my mind's eye, and I just see Greg doing his up hands, being like, what do you mean? insert blank, and it's gonna get loud. And I'm just gonna be
fun.
I'm just gonna be here. I'm not gonna be in the podcast, but I'm gonna be sitting on that couch.
Be way over there.
Yeah. Watching.
Yep.
Yeah, I think there'll be a few people that want to just view that one, but anyway.
Fair enough.
Might have to get cameras in.
Hit continue podcast, filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Then I watched, the first two episodes of Fire Force.
What?
Which is the new, anime by the people, or the person who did Soul Eater.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay.
It's really, like, there's not much out yet, but it looks beautiful. The plot is basically one day all of a sudden, as with many anime, people just started burning to death.
They start spontaneously combusting.
Yeah. And that's like
sucks.
The worst. So then they have like holy firefighters because they don't just die, they turn into like fire demons that set things on fire.
Okay.
So they have like holy fire, there's regular firefighters and there's holy firefighters. And also for some reason, some people can control fire, and then the next generation can shoot fire.
Okay.
But it, like, helps beat the fire. I don't
know. It's a lot of, you're fighting fire with fire.
Exactly.
Sure.
That is the premise of the show. Somebody came up with a plot and said, hey, what if we fight fire
with fire? Boom.
Guys, it's a metaphor.
But yeah.
I'm a genius.
I'm excited about it, but it's definitely not as light as so later.
Okay. Because,
you know, people are burning to death and whatnot.
Fair.
Also, I like that the girl character is actually the one that's, like, into the guys. Hey. And the guys don't really seem to care about her right now. So that's fun.
It's a nice little reversal of...
Yeah.
Well, in anime.
Expectations. Yeah. No, it's definitely, like...
I don't know.
It's been done, but it's pretty... 50-50. It's shocked me. It put
that's
me
fair.
Off. So I was like, oh, okay, that's
yeah.
cool.
Hooray. Yeah. Three cheers for feminine agency.
Ayo.
You don't need to actually do three cheers
yeah.
for it. It's fine.
yeah, so that show was good. I'm excited to watch more. No. then I asked my friend to pick literally anything on Crunchyroll.
Uh-huh.
And I said I would watch three episodes
that's
of it.
That's a challenge.
I said you can, if anybody else wants to do this, I will watch episodes of any anime you choose.
You are giving me the keys to a very dangerous castle,
I'm curious, so.
I was gonna say car.
He selected,
Yeah, I don't know if castles have keys.
He selected, a show called Dog and Scissors. So.
Okay.
The premise is there's a guy. Yes, they're all Googling it. there's a guy, okay? And he loves books. He's a high school student that loves books. Okay. The way that isekai characters love anime.
Sure.
But he just loves books.
Okay.
Like, he spends all his money on books. His life is books. And his favorite author is writing a series about the seven deadly sins, but the last one hasn't come out yet.
Okay.
And he's like, my whole life is about reading this last book. I cannot wait. Then he's at a cafe, and there's a stick-up. So this guy is gonna shoot the people in the cafe.
Yikes.
And so he's like, to the kid, he's like, you stand up. He's like, okay. And then there's this woman who's like frantically writing at the other table. And the guy's like, you need to stand up too. But she just doesn't hear. And then in an effort to protect her, this guy like shoves the gunman. And then he shoots him and he dies.
Damn.
Uh-huh.
So, but in his like dying moments, he's like, I can't die. I haven't read the last book. And then he wakes up as a wiener dog.
Okay. What are those?
Okay.
I hate it when that happens.
And then it turns out, of course, plot twist, the woman
from... I'm sorry, was that not the plot twist?
The woman from the diner is, of course, the writer, and because I guess she was there, she can telepathically understand him as a dog.
What?
And then the show proceeds.
I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and I hate the fact that the dog has anime person eyes.
Does it?
Yeah. Does it?
Oh my god.
I never really noticed.
Kinda, yeah.
Oh, it kinda does.
It's not always like that. It's pretty dog-like. But yeah. So that's... I guess I'm gonna finish it, but I don't know if it's good. They're kind of like solving crimes. It's weird.
What? They're solving crimes as
well?
Well,
like who shot them? Well, cause she's got writer's block, and she feels guilty because he died.
Does she perhaps have writer's block because she was involved in a fatal shooting?
Maybe. Well, maybe. He's not really dead.
He's really dead! He's a dog now!
But he's a dog now. Anyway.
He's reincarnated, which means he died.
If you're curious,
this is a
it's
lot
on Crunchyroll. Yep.
It's anime.
Yeah.
It's really not.
No, that's fair. Like, this is barely a blip on my
radar. Like, I basically explained everything. Like, I didn't cut stuff. That's just what happens. So
that's
yeah. Dog and Scissors.
Alright.
That's...
If you're interested.
That's a whole thing.
It sure is. It's only 12 episodes, so I think I'm on episode 5.
Low commitment.
Yep. Which I like. Then I finally picked... I've been wanting this game for a long time. This is the thing I was trying to get Doug to buy for me, but he never did.
Hey, Doug. Fuck you.
Yeah, now you're gonna have to buy me something else. I bought Everybody's Golf.
Oh, right on.
Which is
sure.
like the spiritual successor / literal successor to Hot Shots Golf, which
yes.
I don't... Has anyone ever played one of those?
Yes. Yeah, I used to play them on the original PlayStation.
They're good and they're fun.
Yeah.
And this game is just like, sometimes I just want to be in a beautiful non-LA playing golf.
Yeah.
And you have a weird, hyper... customizable cartoony character that you then plop into a hella realistic, beautiful graphics golf world. And you can walk around the golf course and like the level of detail, like there's cracks in the cement, there's cars in the parking lot. I just love it.
Who got you getting you this one?
I mean,
this sounds like it's tickling the same part of my brain that Harvest Moon does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I just go home and I'm like, I'm gonna play nine holes.
It's that fun for fun's sake kind of charm.
And I just like walking around, like, you can't make this game, but I would probably buy, look how beautiful this world is, you can walk around in it. But you can also play golf. Anybody? No, but you can fish. And that's why I was talking about fishing earlier.
Nice.
Yeah. Fun fact, if I was ever to start a YouTube channel, the first and probably only video on it would be top 10 fishing mini games and video games.
Ooh.
Because I'm a fan.
Right. There are lots.
There are lots. And there, yeah. Many are good. Some are not. But yeah, yeah. I haven't unlocked the fishing yet.
There's your part two video.
Yeah.
Top 10 worst fishing games.
Pokemon? That's not really a mini game.
The eighth may surprise you.
The correct answer for the worst fishing mini game, by the way, is Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay.
It's fucking hot garbage.
Fair enough.
It's
well,
so bad.
Wait for the video, Scott.
Yeah. Just saying, take it into consideration. Still yeah. Haven't gotten any of the legendary fish in that fucking game.
All right. But yeah, so I'm just playing golf and it's great. You have this little Japanese lady who's your caddy, and she like, if you shoot it and it like rolls past the hole, she'll be like, oh, stop! Like, cause she's just cheering for you and like, it's great.
That's nice.
I don't know, it's just a wholesome golf experience.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need those just and good it, wholesome
like,
games.
You know,
good
it, for your soul. I got it for less than $20. I could have spent that on Katana Zero, but instead I was like, no.
No, but see, now you have to spend an additional $20 on Katana Zero, Tori.
We'll see.
Anyway, I'm just saying.
Do you really want to talk about it
I
for
do.
A sixth
yes.
week? Okay, well,
I
see.
Always want to talk about Katana Zero. At
yeah.
all
it's okay.
possible opportunities.
It's, yeah. It's okay.
James thinks it's okay.
Don't worry about it.
Thanks, bud.
As someone who's
how's
talking about
your speed run coming, James?
Dude, I'm down to 47 minutes.
That's boy.
Hey, all right. That's like watchable.
I'm a challenge that time.
Ooh, okay.
Dude, November? Let's go.
I'm on.
Yeah. So yeah, that's everybody's golf.
Uh-huh.
I love it. And then I almost forgot. You can get, there's Chocobo DLC where your golf cart is just a Chocobo.
Every game could be improved by Chocobo
DLC.
I just want that on the record.
Yeah, so I thought that you'd enjoy that.
I do enjoy that.
So
thank you.
I think it's $5. I might have to buy it.
Ooh,
just for Chocobo.
$5 for Chocobo DLC.
You get to like, I was online and this guy was just like, do on a Chocobo.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, it's great.
I do like that.
It's very good. You can come over. We'll have a good time.
I like to pretend that I have integrity, and then it's so easy to pander to me.
And then Chocobo DLC comes around.
Well, because, like, no, you know what it is that, like, on this podcast, when we get all up in arms about titties on this podcast on a fairly regular basis, we're like, this is bullshit, internet, get your fucking shit together, and then I'm like, ooh, Chocobo DLC, you guys!
That's great.
For the golf game I don't own, but now may have to buy for Chocobo DLC.
You do have to get to rank 3.
God damn it, Tori!
And... It's
stop playing with my heartstrings like this.
Just let me tell you about it. I think you can miss this one.
All right.
But you can come over. We'll have a golf night.
All right, fine. We'll do golf
character creators.
I almost forgot about my golf scar that I put on my character.
Your scar from a tragic golfing accident.
Yeah. I used to have golf elf ears, but then I was like, that's weird.
Sure.
Too far.
My dad actually suffered.
Nine iron again.
You said your dad was going to have golf elf ears.
No, my dad suffered a tragic golfing accident.
It's a realistic
from back
golf
in the day,
scar.
So apparently realistic golf scars are actually a thing.
Yeah, so golf is fun.
My dad was standing too close to somebody like an idiot and he got hit on the backswing with a driver in the jaw.
They warned you not to do that.
Yeah. And my dad is, he's also, I've watched him play baseball as a catcher without a mask on. So.
Call out for Mr. Wama.
Yeah.
Fuck you, careful.
Joe. I know you don't listen to this. You don't listen to the podcast anyway. You don't even know it exists. Eat shit,
dude,
Dad.
We can call out all our parents.
Son, I'm very disappointed in the language that you used against me.
Okay, and last, but most certainly not least.
No, of course
tell
not.
Us about
this
your suffrages.
Part.
So, I decided...
That's a very different thing.
Yeah. I decided for the podcast, I would take one for the team and watch the two memeiest movies I could think of.
Bless you.
The B-movie.
Oh, no.
And The Boss Baby.
Oh,
for the record, you said that you were prepared to watch one of them.
Well, and then you came up with why not both?
And
I said,
do a head-to-head movie showdown.
And I did.
Yes.
And it killed a day of work. I got paid to watch The B-movie and The Boss Baby.
I don't
so,
know if that makes
so
it better.
I guess just to,
an hour.
Just,
that's
to,
all right.
Just to start off this conversation, do you like jazz?
Is this a reference?
It's a reference to the B-movie.
When is that?
Oh my god.
Before
they it's
go
when
on
they,
the date.
It's right before she fucks the bee, Jordan. Jesus.
That didn't even like stand out to me in this.
You like
there's
it?
A lot going on in that movie. Okay, first of all, let me tell you the two things that both films have in common.
Hey.
They both make a Jesus reference. B-movie, Bejesus.
Oh.
Boss Baby, Are You the Baby Jesus? And they both feature Beatles music.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The B-movie has a pretty good cover of Here Comes the Sun.
And the Putting My Kids to Bed song is Blackbird in Boss Baby.
Okay.
Yeah. B-movie is better.
Okay. All right.
That's actually fair. Has, like, themes and growth.
Yeah.
Like, it's both anti-capitalism and anti-communism.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I would have enjoyed it as a kid. And, yeah, the almost human fucking is weird.
Yeah.
But that's, like, the least of it. Like, there's also, he sues humanity.
All of it.
Because we sell honey. Yeah, like, it's just wild.
I watched there's a YouTube channel that I follow called Legal Eagle.
Yes, I follow that too.
Yeah. Which is a guy, his main thing is that so he's an actual practicing lawyer in California, and he started the channel to help kids in law school, like, better prepare for their exams. And then he did one video reacting to the legal inconsistencies in a movie. And it got
that,
like,
became his channel.
Yeah, and it got like 100 million views in comparison to like the 80,000 of every other one he'd done. And it's all he does now. And he did B movie, and it was fucking beautiful.
Yeah,
Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to spoil it, but
you don't want to spoil B. No. Middle level with you. I feel like the internet has seen that one, Tori.
Maybe. Hey, yeah. I hadn't. But yeah, like,
in multiple different parts and
the thing, the argument he uses to finish the case was very bad.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I don't know. If they make a second one, I might watch it.
Oof, I don't.
The B-movie sequel.
Let's.
I heard, because when it got all memey, Jerry Seinfeld was like, I'd do it.
Oh, God.
Also, Chris Rock is in it, and
is he really?
Yeah, he plays a mosquito.
Oh.
And it made me realize that Kevin Hart is just new Chris Rock, but less funny.
That's fair. To be fair, Chris Rock was partly super funny because of how much cocaine he was on at the time.
Yeah, but he was good.
Yeah.
And, like, Kevin Hart acts like he's on cocaine, but he's not funny.
Yeah.
That's right, Kevin Hart.
The 80s were just a really weird time.
Sure was.
Lots of people got really famous for being very, very hyperactive people, and then it turned out it was just the cocaine.
No dice on B-Movie 2.
Damn.
All right.
I was looking forward to
shamelessly say that I did laugh legitimately at one part in B-Movie. When they put him on the stand, and he goes, bzz, 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 bzz.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah.
I honestly don't hate B-Movie. It's not amazing.
Fine.
But I saw it in theaters when it first came out.
Also
it was
saw
like,
it in theaters?
Yeah, and it was like fine.
Okay.
Boss Baby I took a pass on because, man, that just sounds like the greatest experience of my life.
It looked really nice.
Did it?
It wasn't, yeah.
Did it really, Tori?
Yes. It was not, well, after you've just watched the Uncanny Valley freak show that is B-Movie, yeah, it does.
Yeah, dude.
All right.
It was nominated for an Oscar.
I'm sorry, it was?
Boss Baby. Should it have been? No.
For, like, animated features?
Yes.
What?
Because they just put anything that they... Alec Baldwin is in it. The Academy's like, I've heard of him. It's on there.
One minute.
The plot makes sense.
Of Boss Baby?
Yeah.
Is a plot?
Yes.
What is the plot of Boss Baby?
So it does Big Fishes, where at the end he was just telling his daughter the story.
Oh.
So none of it was real.
Right.
Wow. So which is what you need to do for this movie. Because it's fucking ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. They go to like baby heaven where babies don't grow up. And then there was a baby who was lactose intolerant, and then he was mad that he couldn't stay a baby forever, so he steals the constant baby formula and makes forever puppies to steal the love that people used to give to babies and make it go to puppies.
Listen, you just said an awful lot of words in an order, and I'm aware that they form sentences, but
I feel like my brain melted.
Yeah, I definitely just heard, like, I heard, all right, they go to baby heaven, and then after that it was like the adults from Charlie Brown.
Forever puppies.
Whoa. I mean, okay, you know what?
Also, Tobey Maguire plays old main character, and Steve Buscemi plays the villain.
Really?
Yeah.
But he's so nice.
That, okay. And
I like Steve Buscemi, he's a cool guy.
He's fun. The character he plays looks like Dana Carvey, and I thought it was Dana Carvey, but it's Steve Buscemi.
By the way, I'm just gonna the look Oscar for thing? animated feature.
Yeah, it was last.
What Boss Baby lost
to? It was last year.
It well, lost to Coco, went, which oh. is super fair.
Yeah,
super
yeah, Coco fair. Was Coco good. Was
Coco's awesome. Unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I felt like both of them were like, fine.
Also, the other stuff in the category, it was Coco, then a huge gap, then Boss Baby, and then literally three movies. I know Ferdinand is the one about the bull that
that's
stars
John
Cena.
John Cena voice the bull, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have not heard of those.
And then there's something called The Breadwinner and something called Loving Vincent.
Yeah, those would be small studio, Sundance Film Festival, Runaway.
Absolutely.
I don't know. That, it got me thinking to like, cause I wanted like one to be better or to feel something, but like, you know, as you've said on the podcast before, they're not bad enough to be entertainingly bad. Like, they weren't a slog.
Any movie elicit possible emotions from you at the point?
Perhaps an enjoyment of jazz.
Yes.
B movie was closer to making me laugh.
Okay.
Boss Baby had some, like, visual joke. Like, watching that baby, like, dance?
Uh-huh.
It was weirdly, like, entertaining.
Right.
And he's, like, all with these cheeks and it's cute. I don't know.
But it sounds like these movies have fallen victim to the problem of being almost exactly 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Where they're not bad enough to shit on and they're not good enough to praise. They just exist.
They're just kid movies. And they're fine.
So what you're saying is we need to make you watch worse movies.
I guess. You're going to give me bad anime to watch.
Yeah, I can give you bad anime to watch. I can give you lots of bad anime to watch.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
I can give you tons of bad anime to watch.
Hi, Mark! Anyway.
How's your sex life?
There's also a prison shank joke in Boss Baby, which was fun.
That's really weird.
Yeah. You know, they just glossed over a lot of stuff. there was one joke in Boss Baby that makes me kind of laugh. Because Alec Baldwin is explaining how babies come from this, like, baby heaven place.
Okay.
And then he's like, that's weird, because my parents told me, and then he whispers, and he's like, that can't be right. And he's like, and he's like, yeah, it sounded weird to me, too. And I was like, that was all right. And yeah, that's both of those.
Okay.
Right. Go watch Into the Spider-Verse instead.
Please.
Yay. Or any Disney Pixar.
That is my response to every movie.
Yeah.
Go watch Into the Spider-Verse instead.
I probably should have watched next week I'll watch Toy Story 4 and then
Toy Story.
And then be like, oh, that's what good animated movies are there you like. Go. But yeah, no, Coco was excellent as well.
Oh, Coco was excellent. Coco's so fucking good.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I was really expecting Coco to be about a dog. But anyway.
Nope.
Alright, is that your week?
That's my week.
Alrighty, I'm gonna get into my shit. Alright, thing number one.
Yes.
I beat Detroit Become Human.
Yay!
It was really good.
Yay!
The ending was okay.
Did you get a good ending?
No.
Well,
I got a very bad ending, in fact.
Oh, ScottMo, what happened?
Alright, spoilers for Detroit Become Human going forward.
Aww.
Okay.
Okay, no, it's fine.
Alright, so,
Okay, wait, first, was it Kim's fault?
No, actually, it was not. It was a mutual effort.
Okay.
We were on roughly the same page, actually, for almost that entire game.
Okay.
Okay, so let me run down the stories of what happened to the characters.
Sure.
Marcus died.
Oh, no.
Pretty much immediately.
Oh, no!
So there's a scene in Detroit Become Human where Marcus begins to lead a protest.
Yes.
He blocks off some traffic and just leads a protest of androids down a street. And they're chanting, like, we're human, we deserve rights, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
And the police show up.
Yes.
And up until that point, we had been playing Marcus as entirely peaceful. We didn't want him to be a radical revolutionary at all, because it was like, you know what, the only way that we're ever going to be able to achieve some kind of peaceful resolution to this is if we are not the ones who fire the first bullet. That was basically our whole thing was like, everyone just fucking chill and like, we will grow in numbers because we basically outnumber the humans and everything's gonna be fine.
And how did that go?
Didn't go great. So the cops show up. The big climactic thing for this is that the cops show up and you are supposed to, I realize now, basically be like, all right, fuck it, we're done. Let's go fucking ham on these people. And you go and start a war.
Question.
Yes.
How bulletproof are these robots?
Not at all. Okay. They are functionally the same as humans.
Gotcha.
In terms of their kill ability.
I feel like that was important for what you're about to say.
Yes.
Are they super strong because they're robotos?
No, not really.
Okay.
They are Yeah, like, the whole idea of it is that when they wake up, they're basically just human.
Just people.
Yeah, cool. Like, they even function on blood. Like, a version, like, not
yeah,
actual
yeah.
blood.
Yeah. Like they got blue, something yeah. pumping through.
But they have blue blood, they have, yeah.
And they're squishy.
Yes.
Gotcha.
They're probably a little bit stronger than, the average human, but for the most part, they're very human analog.
For plot reasons, not really.
Yeah. So, what I expect is that the game expected me to, like, you basically have, like, 200 androids, and you are approached by, like, half a dozen cops, or, like, a dozen riot squad with guns, and they're like, stop, or we have to shoot you, or disperse, or we have to shoot you. And I was like, no, we're peacefully protesting. And then, so your options are charge, like, go fucking yep. ham on these guys, disperse, which I thought was bullshit, or literally the martyr yourself button.
Oh.
And I was like, I think we have to hit the martyr yourself button because I think that's the only way that we can maintain this peaceful thing while still having the protest, like matter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what, like, from my, limited academic history, like, I functionally had a minor in history when I was getting my degree. A revolution that has a martyr that they can rally around is usually, like,
more successful.
Yeah. Like, you can just take all of your causes and slap them on like a sticker. So I was like, alright, fuck it. If Marcus has to die, then Marcus has to die. So he dies. And I was like, great, cool, whatever. They're gonna, like, you know what? They're gonna take his peaceful message and they're gonna rise up. And then immediately your protest gets taken over by a woman named, I wanna say it's like, oh, it's North.
Yes.
That's her name. Right. I thought it was Snow. It's North.
And she's a bit more.
North is violent. A bitch.
Do you play North's as
the
fuck, her?
No, you don't. Okay. So North is your second in command and she's Marcus's love interest. She, is radical. Basically, you have two people on this revolution. One of them is, like, advocating for peace, and one of them is North. yeah. I don't even remember what the peace guy's name was. It's, like, fucking Kyle.
Is it South?
No, it's not.
Peacey Jones.
It's something stupid, but, so North is, like,
computer.
Yeah. North basically just goes, hey, so Marcus died, and you know what we should do? I'm not prepared to live in a world where Marcus is dead, so I'm just gonna go fucking kamikaze with everybody.
Oh,
I'm gonna go fucking ham. So she leads a violent, they steal guns and bombs, and they just go and declare war on the city of Detroit, and just fucking wipe out everything. So that's Marcus's story. He dies and it causes a war. Or he lives and it causes a war. So Kara sees this war happening and is like, shit, we should leave. And so she flees to Canada.
Hey.
Yay!
Because apparently, as with all things in life, Canada is much more progressive than our southern counterpart.
No way.
So they have better rights and things for machines, Androids. For androids. So Kara flees to, but because these robots have led a violent revolution in Detroit, they're not letting any robots across the border. So you either need to try to pose as a human or something. And I got to a point where basically they were doing a thermal scan for everyone, and basically if you have body heat you can pass, and if you don't then you're not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to the point where Kara had to hit the martyr herself button in order to let her little girl go through to Canada with her human best friends, basically. So Kara gets absolutely shot at the border. She gets shot to fuck at the border.
Jeez.
Yep.
You did get a bad ending.
Yep. I actually had all three of my main characters die.
No!
Yep.
Now I know what not to do.
Yeah.
Yes. So I realize after the fact, there was an opportunity to sneak into Canada rather than going through the border, like in the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
But
you picked the most Canadian way. You tried to do it properly.
I know. Well, and Kim and I, like, it became pretty clear once we got to border control, like, ah, shit, Kara's not gonna make it out of this. But Kim and I made a sort of pact, which was like, alright, unless one of us hits the wrong button or fucks up a sequence, like, because a battery died and,
yeah.
Then we're just gonna play it out. I want to know exactly what our story of this is. And the only time we redid one scene, and it was because I just had like a dyslexic moment and fucked up on a QTE.
Yeah.
Rather than because I just got, it was because I was, I don't remember. I might have not been paying attention or something. I don't remember.
Missed a button press.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause like I have no problem like, oh, it said hit circle and I hit square. Well, that's on me. But it was literally like, I don't remember exactly what happened, but I failed when I shouldn't have.
I think that's the right way to play those games is play them once honestly. Play yes. them what you would answer and see how it turns out.
Yes. It turns out that my answers are all garbage is the only problem. So Kara gets shot. Her ward snuck into Canada. That's the end of Kara's story. Connor, who is the cop that we talked about previously.
Can't wait to hear about Hank.
Oh, Hank was, it was great, actually.
Did he die?
Not in my version. Okay. Hank got away. We were best bros to the end.
Yay!
It was so good. So, yes, and I did notice it after he told me he sounds like Mr. Krabs.
Yeah.
Oh god, it was bad. So the androids start this war in Detroit and they start losing, cause they get overrun by like the National Guard effectively. So Connor, who has since awoken, decides to aid these androids for basically no reason. I was very disappointed with the writing for this. But he wakes up and he's like, I still have a really strong sense of justice, even though I've been made aware of the fact that I'm sentient. Mm-hmm. And then North is just like, wanna go fuck up humanity? And Connor's like, do I? it was horseshit. Mm-hmm. I was really upset about that. So Connor decides to aid the revolution that is losing by going to effectively the Apple warehouse, and activating every single dormant android that they have.
An army of cars. Let's
increase our numbers.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, are the ones that haven't awoken yet, like, down for this?
So basically...
Or did this happening kind of awaken, like, a lot of them at the same time?
So basically what happens is, it turns out that these androids have an ability, once they're awake, they can basically, like, boop you on the forehead, and then you are also awake.
Ah.
So yeah. What he has to do is he boops one on the forehead, and then that one boops two people.
So they went on a booping spree.
Yes,
They
went on a big booping spree. So Connor, by the way, Connor, when he wakes up, goes full fucking John Wick, and it's amazing. He becomes this unkillable, just fucking beast of a man, and it's wonderful. So you just fucking destroy your way through the Apple store. make your way down to, a warehouse full of like probably, Connors. Yeah, full of not quite Connors, but like they looked like, I was calling them discount Ryan Seacrest is what they looked like. But then you are attacked by a second Connor.
Oh.
Because when Connor goes rogue, their response is like, all right, well, we need his memories and shit in order to finish this investigation. So they just second boot up Connor. A second Connor. So you and Hank are down in this warehouse, and then Connor starts beating the shit out of you, and you start beating the shit out of Connor.
Is Hank with you?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Hank is in on this plan, okay. Because he's really mad about, because Hank's basically, for all intents and purposes at this point, has been fired.
Right.
Because he got too close to the truth, basically.
Yeah.
And they were just like, Hank, you fucked up, and, the revolution has happened, and fuck you, you're fired. So he's like, you know what, maybe you guys do actually deserve, he doesn't want the revolution.
Right.
But he's like, you know what, maybe you guys actually deserve to like be awake and be functional human beings because we created you to live and then stopped you from doing that. And I think that's kind of a dick move. So it's like, all right, Hank, good on you, man. So Connor and Connor are fighting and then Hank pulls out a gun but which one is the real Connor? So
tell me something only Connor would know.
Actually though.
Yeah.
Because he's trained a gun on the two of them, and then they quiz you on Hank.
Ooh.
But
how much did you remember about Hank?
I remembered everything about Hank because he's my fucking boy, Kurt.
Yeah.
Hank's my boy.
I knew you'd enjoy the Hank.
Yeah. His dog's name is Sumo, goddammit.
Love it.
Yeah. And also Connor, evil fake Connor makes it super easy. Cause he literally goes to regular Connor and he's like, well, what's my dog's name? Well, it was Sumo. And he goes, okay. And then he's like, well, that doesn't be, and the other evil Connor's like, I knew that. I knew that one. I knew that one too. Literally like with that voice.
Yeah.
It's like petulant and stupid.
Yeah.
And then Connor goes into a monologue about, what Hank's childhood or not his childhood, his child was like.
Yeah.
Cause Hank has lost his kid.
Yeah.
The other Connor is like, wait, that's not fair. I knew that one too. And Hank's just like, fuck.
Good.
It just blows his head off.
It happened. It's probably the way I would have wanted that to happen.
Yeah. And then, so Connor and Hank share one last final bro moment, where Hank is like, yeah, where Hank is like, I need to get out of here because you're massacring humanity and I'm not cool with that. But also, like, you're waking everybody up, so that's fine. So Hank fades away into the night and, Connor wakes up all the androids and they annex Detroit. Then Connor is, they're basically like, well, Marcus is dead. North is, I believe, killed as well.
We need a rallying point.
Yeah, we need someone to, so they're all celebrating and they're like, what do we do now? Connor, well, you're the one who basically facilitated this. Why don't you give a big speech? So Connor steps up in front of all the androids. And then inside his head, there's a character that lives inside his brain, named, I think, Amanda. And she's, like, the whole time she's been having conversations about how, like, oh, Connor, you need to stick to your mission. You need to solve this case and blah, 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 blah. So he goes to step up and she's like, whoosh, it cuts into his head and she's like, oh, good. You did the thing that we wanted you to do. Now we control the city of Detroit because all of you are under our purview. So here's what you need to do. You need to give a speech where you tell them all to seize control of the utilities and take all the buildings and blah, blah, blah. This is what you need to do. And Connor's like, oh, well, I've been had. This is bullshit. And then he pulls out a gun and he shoots himself in the face.
Yeah.
And then the credits roll.
Ooh.
So didn't get the greatest ending in Detroit Become Human, it must be said.
Nope. That's it.
Yeah, and like I want to play the third act of that game again.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have, thankfully, as all branching titles should, you can go back and start from whenever.
Oh,
there's
thank
a chapter
God.
Select on yeah. it. So I want to go back and have Marcus be alive. Is basically, because I think that's the moment where things went real sideways for us. And then I also want to do one playthrough where I'm just an absolute turd to everyone that I encounter.
Those are the best ones.
Just to see how it goes. Anyway, so that's Detroit Become Human. I finished campaign one of Critical Role. I don't think any of you care.
I started listening to Critical Role a little while ago.
Yeah.
It's a, like, an every so often pleasure for me.
Okay, fair enough. But yes, so I finished it. I have now officially listened to like 500 hours of Critical Role.
Which is wild.
Yeah, because it's 115 episodes and they're roughly 3 to 4 hours each. It's nuts. Anyway, I'm taking a minute to unfuck my brain from that because there's a second campaign that's like already 70 episodes deep and I need to get started on that.
Holy
Did you
crap.
Hear that they're doing an animated series
yes.
based off the first?
Yes. Yes. The Kickstarter was the highest funded film or television Kickstarter mm-hmm. of all time. Which
I
is
think that's great.
Bonkers, and I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be super cool. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. I finished campaign 2 of Critical Role. The only person that really cares is probably Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Yeah. I played, speaking of Critical Role, I recently played a game called Battle Chasers Night War.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Played Battle Chasers.
It is an RPG mostly done by the artwork and story is done by a guy named Joe Mad Durrera, I think. He's a famous comic book artist in the United States. He's done a lot of work for Marvel and such. And they hyped it on Critical Role, and so I was like, you know what? I need to check it out. And hold on. Pause for effect. Okay. So that, what you just heard was the sound of Greg raging because he recommended that game to me like 8 months ago and I just wanted to have him squirm for a few seconds. Because he always gets really mad when he recommends something to me and then like 6 months later I'm like, why haven't we talked about this shit? Ugh! Yeah. So Battle Chasers Night War. It is gorgeous and really okay.
Wait, is this like a tabletop game?
No, it's JRPG stuff.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
It is so, so fucking pretty, and if nothing else, it really, really makes me want to read the comic.
I find myself agreeing with you. I enjoyed what I played out of it, but I got to the point where it was just like, this is a lot of the same thing over and over again.
The thing that I encountered, like, from a JRPG perspective, one of the things that you really, really need to do is it needs to be either fast or flashy.
Mm-hmm.
It needs, like, the stuff that's gonna be long, it needs to be really, really, really hype. And every attack animation in Battle Chasers Night War is like 7 seconds long.
Mm.
And it's just like, I punched the guy. And then when they do a big attack, it's like, all right, that's kind of cool. But you have to do them like, you know, a dozen times in order to win this battle.
It's like Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And like the strategy's there and it's fun, but it's dry. Yeah.
Your basic attacks are like, you know, like, and I'm talking like your special attacks, like the Final Fantasy equivalent of like casting Thunder. Like basic level spells take 10 seconds to cast and you have to do them, you know, 6 times in a battle. So you're potentially, it's like, for the grindy, for like the do nothing grind battles, they need to be over.
Yeah.
They need to be over like that so fast.
Can you turn
them off? No. You cannot. So anyway, it is fucking gorgeous. It's so, so, so pretty. The characters have a lot of, flavor to them, which I really appreciated. The voice acting was okay. It's not amazing. It's a Kickstarter game, so what do you do? But I really, really want to check out the comic. So the game is called Battle Chasers Night War. It is based on the comic, I believe, Battle Chasers by Jomet. And it's, the comic seems super cool. Like, it's basically, there's this girl, her name is Gully, and she has a set of gauntlets that her father gave to her, that have this really untold power to them. And she doesn't really understand it, and she doesn't quite know how to wield it, but everyone else basically seems to understand that they are insanely powerful, and so now suddenly the whole world is fucking trying to kill her, because they want her dad's gauntlets. And then she teams up with a big robot, named Calibretto, which I think is a cool name for a robot.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, she gets a swordsman named Garrison, I think is his name. And then there's two other characters. One is an old wizard named Nolan, and there's a lady whose name is Red something, I can't remember.
And she uses bombs and guns.
Yeah, she does.
And wears a bikini because
she's reasons. A girl.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, it's a really cool aesthetic. The world is really, really pretty, and the game itself is really average. So I played it for about 3 hours to give it a fair chance, and I was just done. The other thing that I want to talk about,
Red Monica.
Thank you. Watch Redline for the first time?
Yes!
Redline is a racing anime movie from the guys who did Gurren Lagann.
Ah!
And it's awesome.
It is fun, it is not necessarily good. The plot's a little all over the map.
Mm-hmm.
It's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really balls to the wall the entire time.
Hell yeah.
And that's pretty much all I need in an anime made by the Gurren Lagann people. That's all I want out of life. It's the same reason why I've been watching Inferno Cop. And by the way, if you haven't watched Inferno Cop, you should, because it's only half an hour long and it's beautiful. But that's all I'll say about Redline. It was just really good.
If you want to watch an F-Zero movie, this is the closest you're going
to
get.
Yes, it is the best F-Zero movie to not feature anything from F-Zero.
Should have been there. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it's great.
You texted me at like 9, like 8:55. He's like, we're going to watch it. I'm like,
I'm prepared to watch it a second time.
My dog is...
Dude, it is better the second time. Let me tell you that.
Alright, next time.
Soundtrack's amazing.
The soundtrack is unreal, I will give you that.
And it's fun, and it's got a really good English voice cast.
Yes, actually it does.
We'll do Golf and Red Line.
I'm okay with that.
Invite me for this one, I want to watch.
Okay.
Alright, last thing.
I want to watch Red Line, like,
anytime.
Yes.
It's your Iron Man.
There's a reason it's my favorite movie.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun.
Alright.
Last thing, I bought a Switch.
Yay!
In anticipation of Fire Emblem.
Another thing I was part of.
But, I bought a Switch, and I was like, well, I can't just leave with a console that I can't play.
Wait, which day did you buy it?
Like last Wednesday.
What, it was Wednesday?
Like yeah, something like that. It was after the last podcast.
I was gonna be mad that you didn't come visit me at work.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
But I wouldn't have been there on Wednesday.
I don't remember. I bought it from James, no, it would have been last Thursday.
Then I'm offended.
It's fine. I had some Zelda to play. I'm sorry. Anyway, yeah, I bought a console and I didn't want to just leave with a console and with nothing that I could do with it. So I bought Zelda as well, and yes. I've been playing a little Zelda. It's
fun. You
could have
played Tetris 99 if you got the online.
Yeah, true enough. I don't have the online.
It's really
put yourself fun. In a Tetris effect.
No, that's its own thing. Totally different experience.
But yeah, Zelda, with Breath of the Wild, One of the benefits of playing Breath of the Wild so late is that I am not currently riding the hype wave of Breath of the Wild. And I feel like I got a pretty decent objective look at it. It's fun. It is not as good as people are saying it is. It controls a little bit wonky. In particular, the sprint button and the jump button are in the wrong spots.
We'll get used to it.
Because, like, on a PlayStation controller, for anyone who's wondering, sprint is X and jump is triangle, and you have to do them at the same time in a lot of cases. You have to be sprinting and jump. And you have to sort of roll your thumb in a way to avoid using the attack button.
or the whistle button.
Or the whistle
button. Holy shit! How many, that has gotten me in so much trouble before. It's like, alright, gonna sneak on this cam.
Well, and then you have the war, then you get the warp horse armor, and then it's like, oh god, horse is here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think they saw me.
And the horse dies. You're like, oh.
Never.
The other thing, and I am still on the Great Plateau, I'll just say that.
Okay, we'll see anymore.
The plot makes no sense so far.
That's fair.
You have woken up, you've been asleep for 100 years, I get that. You are given an iPad, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. Whatever.
Every kid needs an iPad.
Yes.
These days.
You're given the Switch controller, which sure, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't shit on. So there's a game that I talk about all the time called Robot Alchemic Drive, which is a giant mech fighting game. And in the game, you are given a PlayStation controller with which to pilot your robot. So I can't really shit on Zelda for giving you the Switch console while also being like, fuck yeah, Robot Alchemic Drive.
Also, we still need to play that for Extra Life.
Yes, we need to figure out, we had some difficulty streaming a PlayStation 2 was the problem. Mm-hmm. So we're working on that. So you wake up, you've been asleep for 100 years, that's fine, I have no problem with that. Where I start to take issue is you get out of the cave, and then you are met by an old man.
Yep.
And the old man is like, go visit these shrines, and you're like, why? And he's like, because I'll give you a parachute if you do. And you're like,
yeah,
okay.
It's all cool and sweet, and he can flow.
Yeah, but that's fun, and that's fine. But then halfway through on the effort to get the parachute, you see Hyrule Castle in the distance being accosted by a dragon, which is sure, whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's being accosted by evil dragon Ganon.
Uh-huh.
And then the old man walks up to you, and he's like, are you going to defeat that dragon someday? And you're like, yes, I am. And I'm like, wait a second here, Link. You've moved a couple of rocks with your brain so far. That's the only thing you've accomplished. Why do you have any attachment to this castle? Why do you want to kill that dragon? Also, this fucking world seems totally fine because the dragon's just confined to the castle.
And for God's sakes, put on some goddamn pants and shirt!
Why don't you just hang out and make some apple butter, man? That seems like a really good...
Man, just like some of the recipes in that game just make me so hungry.
You need to watch the latest episode of Unraveled. So Brian David Gilbert from Polygon.
Oh, I watched
made
every recipe.
All of them.
Every single. But he made them using the ingredients list that they give you in the game.
Yeah. So, like, and he did it in a very short amount of time for how many recipes?
Like something about rock salt, butter, honey, and steak just sounds awesome.
So
you should watch this video. It's excellent.
One of the things he points out is that almost none of the recipes in Zelda in Breath of the Wild call for salt.
And so they're very bland.
Yeah.
And so very bad.
Almost every recipe he makes is garbage.
Yeah, all the ones with salt, they're like, oh.
Yeah, this
is
amazing.
What's the one that's like surprisingly good?
Oh, I don't remember.
There's a few that are like surprisingly
good. But like they made cakes with no yeast in them and shit. And yeah. Like they basically turned out as pancakes.
It was just pancakes, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's my week, is basically just all of that.
Well, I hope you get in Breath of the Wild a bit more.
I'm gonna.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and just adventuring, I don't know, just something about like all the sound design, just like...
Oh, it's gorgeous.
You climb and shit, and just like, there's not like too much music, but it's just like environmental noises and things. It's very relaxing.
It's a subtle growth with the way that it plays too. I really found that it was like, I felt like I sucked for so long of that game, and then I didn't even notice when I didn't.
Yeah. I am getting very frustrated by the weapons that are available to me at the moment.
Yeah.
I think that's going to get... Obviously, that's going to get better.
Are you having problems with dying repeatedly very quickly?
No, actually, I'm pretty boss.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. But that's... I assume that's just because, like, I have played a lot of Zelda.
I was not boss.
I was also not pretty boss.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I didn't think it was hard.
I did a lot. I really like my health.
Well, and I mean, I played it twice, and then... I'm not gonna spoil how this happens, but once you know the secret to killing guardians very easily, it's like pew pew pew. Do you know?
I know. Oh yes, I know.
I'm sure I'll figure it out.
Maybe.
It's tricky. I'll tell you later.
Yeah, I'm gonna play Breath of the Wild for the next 36 hours and then I'm not gonna touch it for a year.
Yeah.
Because Fire Emblem.
Because Fire Emblem's coming out.
And same day as the last season of Orange is the New Black.
Oh no, how am I ever gonna choose between Fire Emblem and that show?
Oh, well, excuse me. I like that show. So I'm probably gonna power through that show and then game.
My wife is very excited about it.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
It's one that Kim has watched a lot of, but I've never seen a single episode. I've heard it's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
I've watched bits.
Alright, so we gotta move on to some news.
News.
Mentioned that this was gonna be a long podcast. News. It's because, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend we had San Diego Comic-Con.
Holy shit.
The big one. The one that everyone is at and everyone has shit to announce. We're not gonna cover everything because it's everything. So I have distilled down a list and also included a couple of small other announcements that have come up in the last couple of days that are either gaming or variety related. So I'm going to cover those and then we'll get into Comic-Con.
Right.
So basically the only one that I want to cover that's not Comic-Con related is in our now apparently weekly segment on the internet being angry about something.
Hmm.
Yay!
Today, it's James Bond that the internet is angry about.
Oh, yeah, they cast a black lady.
Yeah. You guys, there's a black lady in James Bond.
Okay. As James Bond.
Okay.
Not quite.
No?
No. Because that's what the internet is mad about, is they're like, holy shit, they're replacing Daniel Craig with a black lady. This is bullshit.
They're doing like a half-half pass-off thing.
Not really.
Oh, is that okay?
So, here's the deal. Because I did some reading into this, and I will say, like, clickbait articles are saying a black woman, it's specifically saying a black woman is 007.
Okay.
The reason for that is because the plot of this new James Bond movie is that Daniel Craig James Bond, who is very much Daniel Craig and James Bond, the whitest, Britishest person, is retired. He is fucked off to the Bahamas to live out the rest of his days, and then he gets called back into the game. So.
Didn't they do that already? I'm pretty sure that was Skyfall.
They do that a lot. It's all he does. It's all Daniel Craig does as James Bond.
Because he doesn't really want to do this.
He gets called back into the fucking game all the time. But this time for realsies, he gets called back. Whereas I think in Skyfall, he got shot and was out of commission for a while.
Yes.
So, this time he's plain old retired. And when he comes back, much to his not chagrin at all, because they're actually treating it fairly tastefully from the sounds of it, someone else is 007, because he's retired, which makes perfect sense.
Someone else is James Bond!
No, because his name is actually James Bond, and they still haven't bought into the conspiracy theory that James Bond is a code name yet.
Oh, really? I thought that was...
Yeah, no, right?
I always thought that was the case. Always thought that James Bond was a code name.
So the official canon is that 007 is a code name.
Oh.
James Bond is the guy.
Okay.
Officially. I am with you that James Bond, it would be cool if, like, Daniel Craig gets shot and dies and then a new Bond comes in and they're like, hey, James.
It would make more sense.
Yes. But, so, the lady who has taken up 007 in Daniel Craig's absence is the next most capable spy, which happens to be a black lady. And that's literally not news, but the internet is flipping their shit over this.
Jamie Bonda.
Yeah. The internet's Jamie losing Lee their mind. I just want it on the record that the internet's mad about another thing.
Yep.
Wait, the internet's mad that they cast another black lady to play another totally fine role?
Yeah. It turns out the internet is shockingly racist.
I really wanted Idris Elba.
I would love Idris Elba as Bond. That would be dope.
They kind of gave him the nod with that, with the Sean Hobbs Fast and Furious.
Oh, yeah.
They literally gave him the super spy, super soldier. Like, there's an actual line that they've shown in the trailers that I'm going to be incredibly upset that's not in the movie. Not that I really care, but
sure.
they call him Black Superman.
Yes, they do.
I saw the trailer for that, and I literally looked at my friend. I'm like, I've been watching this for a long time, and I don't know what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hobbs and Shaw is probably one of the worst movies that I'm ever going to love in theaters.
Fair.
Because as longtime listeners of this podcast know, Greg Pilkington is probably the world's largest Fast and Furious fan, inexplicably, because they're not great. But
hey, you know.
I love them, and I love them more from an empathy standpoint, because when I am around Greg while he is watching a Fast and Furious movie, it feels like a better film.
He's just that excited about
exactly.
It. Exactly. It exudes.
Yeah, he just radiates joy, and so I feel like I need to go watch it with him, and that seems like a fun day. Alright, so that's basically my only non-Comic-Con news. There was other stupid shit, but it's not important and we're running low on time.
Alright, okay.
So, fuck, Comic-Con happened.
Shit.
Let's do it.
Oh no.
Let's run down the list.
Alright.
Let's do the big one first.
Cool.
Marvel.
Marvel announced Phase 4.
Yeah.
Of their plan, and man, it's some odd choices.
I'm excited about like a third of it.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to run down the list of stuff that has dates, and there's also stuff that they have announced, but is literally just like eventually.
Yeah.
So the ones that have dates. So officially we're in phase three for till the end of this year, basically, and into spring of next year is phase
three. Is there another film in it?
I don't remember, not to my knowledge.
That's what it would just be TV shows like ends of ages and stuff like that.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, May 1st, 2020, Black Widow.
Sweet. Cool.
That one's been announced for a while. Whatever. It's probably going to be good.
It's a prequel.
Yeah. Spoilers, it's going to be weird because Black Widow was dead.
And Taskmaster's in it.
Taskmaster's in it?
Apparently.
Yeah. Dope!
David Harbour's in it too.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. As Taskmaster?
I don't think so. I think my sources say he's Red Guard, but...
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Presumably this will be some kind of origin story because, again, Black Widow's dead. Alright, fall 2020, we get Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is a TV show on Disney Plus.
I'm kind of excited about this one.
Yes.
I'm not gonna, I love their weird buddy cop thing, mm-hmm. and I just want more pressers with those two.
Yes.
With, Sebastian Stan and...
Anthony Mackie.
Thank you, Anthony Mackie. Yes. I love those boys.
Apparently, Anthony Mackie a couple days ago had his first, test in the Captain America suit.
Ooh.
So he's going to be, like, he's the Falcon. I assume
he's Captain America Falcon.
Yes, he's cool. going to ascend to the role of Captain America, which is something that happened in the comics as well.
Yes.
Well, he has the shield now.
Yes. Anyway, so November 6th, 2020, the first odd choice for Phase 4 movies.
Yep.
Eternals.
Yeah.
I know literally nothing.
Most people do.
Yeah. I'll Google it later.
They're basically like, it's, and I know very little about the Eternals, but I probably know slightly more than you. They're kind of a riff on, like, Hercules, for all intents and purposes. So, like, but, like, there's a lot of
gods.
Them.
I think,
it's
gonna be, I'm...
They're, like, the offspring of gods and the offspring of titans and these sorts of people.
Okay.
And they fight the offspring of titans. Like, Kronos is an enemy of the Eternals. Thanos is apparently an Eternal in the comics. Because he's the Mad Titan. Yeah, I honestly don't know a ton about it.
Really?
And in fact, there's a lot that I don't know about almost all of these except one.
Hello. I will say for Marvel's odd choices, because like, I thought Ant-Man wasn't going to be that great, I thought Guardians of the Galaxy wasn't going to be that great, I thought Doctor Strange wasn't going to be that great, and I will say I was pleasantly surprised by all of them.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think so, they've gotten their handle on fantastical. Well, they've had their experience with Thor and dealing with that kind of like high fantasy, but kind of not really. Like...
Yeah, one. I don't necessarily think that these are bad choices, but they are very unusual.
Yeah,
and they're
like then it's even. Like, they can make more, you know, they can bring it up and then it's a thing.
Totally. And I have I'm fully prepared to give it an absolutely honest shot.
Sure.
And I think they're actually going to be good. Like, when I say odd choices, I don't necessarily mean bad choices.
Yeah.
I just mean that they're really digging here for some of their B titles.
Yeah.
I think that they have opportunities for these to be amazing, but they're definitely digging into the B titles.
Well, cool. It's hopefully going to be what it was for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Where absolutely.
It revitalizes it and brings it to the forefront.
Absolutely. I'm fully expecting these to absolutely knock it out of the park every single time. Speaking of odd choices, and by the way, this is pretty much all of their like mainline titles are taking a very like Shades of Taika Waititi direction, which we'll get to in a bit. But February 12th, 2020, we have Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Sure. Cool.
So this is, as I understand it, I've never heard of Shang-Chi. And the Ten Rings is, I thought, was the thing that the Mandarin was associated with.
Yes, they've referenced it a couple of times, and I'm waiting to see if they're going to bring it back. In original Iron Man, he's captured by the Ten Rings.
Yes.
That's the terrorist group that he's originally captured by. In Iron Man 3, they reference back to it.
Yes, and then the Mandarin turns out to be a
weird
joke.
Except that also not, because there was a Marvel one-shot that went along with Thor the Dark World. Long Live the King.
Yeah.
Or All Hail to the King.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Hail to the King, something like that.
Yeah, where the actor that was played by Ben Kingsley's actor character who plays the Mandarin gets abducted from prison by a group of mercenaries, and the last thing that you see or hear them say in some regard is the Mandarin wants to have words with you, and that's
so surprise, he's not actually the Mandarin.
So I'm
curious to see if they tie that into the rest of the Ten Rings, or if they're just going to kibosh that and see if it ties to something else.
Yeah, I suppose we'll see. Shang-Chi, for what it's worth, is a an answer to the problem that they're not going to have Iron Fist for the next little while, basically.
Wordle.
Yeah. First of all, some benefits, I guess. Shang-Chi is a kung fu master who is also Asian American, so the people that were complaining about that can finally shut up.
Yay!
So whatever. And he has Naruto powers.
Sweet!
Which ones?
He can split himself into multiple versions of himself.
Bad ones.
Yes, he has Shadow Clone Jutsu powers.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll pop up in this movie because apparently they don't come until later in this character's arc.
If it's interesting, they'll push it up.
Yes, but his power, as I understand it, aside from the Shadow Clone thing, is that he's literally just super, super good at Kung Fu.
And I think that'll be cool because Marvel has done a lot of different styles of movies.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've done, like, a Kung Fu style movie.
So yeah,
I think this will be sweet.
I think they've done some very effective genre work, like with Ant-Man being a heist movie. Mm-hmm.
Winter Soldier being, like, a thriller.
Yeah. Doctor Strange with the kind of cosmic horror thing, the Inception-y weird shit that they did. So I think this will be good. Spring 2021, we have, and it's actually, I thought it was called Wanda and Vision.
This is WandaVision.
It's called WandaVision.
Which is the dumbest.
Yes, ooh. All one word, WandaVision.
I'm going to wear these glasses and I will see in
but
WandaVision.
But that's obviously going to be prequel.
I was going to say, do we know timeline for this? Like where chronologically this takes place?
Well, I don't think so. I'm assuming Vision's alive.
What we know is that Mary Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany are on for this show.
He got to be freaking Jarvis for a million years.
Paul Bettany, according to Marvel canon, definitively died in Endgame.
Yeah.
Or in Infinity War, I guess. Yes. He got his head ripped off. And I guess maybe because of the poof, because of the nature of the snap, because he's a robot, maybe he didn't come back. Well, or maybe he did come back.
But he was the gem. It was complicated.
Yeah, he was the manifestation of the Soul Stone. It's unusual. And I'll tell you, I haven't looked into a ton of the plot information. For some of these, I've looked into character information, release dates, and things like that. So WandaVision I know nothing about. And it is WandaVision, but they've stylized it as one word, so I'm going to keep calling it WandaVision.
WandaVision!
Hey, man. Okay, real talk though, Vision was like one of my favorite MCU characters.
Yeah, Vision's dope.
I just love that kind of character. Like, Data from Star Trek is my favorite character ever.
Straight man.
I just like that, like, mirror of humanity doesn't quite get it.
By the way, one of the things that came announced from Comic-Con, there was a trailer for Picard and they announced that Brent Spiner is going to be in it.
And Seven of Nine and Riker.
Jonathan Frakes is in as well.
I'm so excited! Okay.
So Data's coming back.
I saw the screenshot. Is he going to be young? Because it looked like it was Data. Maybe. But Data's dead! I have so many questions. I don't want to go there.
Anyway, we're still on Marvel.
Star Trek is very, very important to me.
Bring it
back. Okay, yeah, I really like the romance that was blooming between Scarlet Witch and Vision, and I know in the comics that's a thing, and so I'm kind of interested in that one too.
All right, yeah, I'm curious. I know nothing about it, and a lot of these, like the fact that these titles exist at all, given who we know survives and does not in Endgame.
Interesting.
Is unusual and cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of unusual and cool, my favorite announcement. May 7th, 2021, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
What fucking Pink Floyd album title did they pull that shit from?
I can't wait.
I'm so ready for that to be completely insane.
Oh, yeah.
Bonkers, yeah.
It's going to be so weird and good.
But what if it's not? How can you... But they have to. It's called Multiverse of Madness. If it is not off the wall, I'm going to be upset.
It's got
to
be so fun. And, like, that is the... With one exception, that is the Taika Waititiest thing I have ever heard in my life.
Pretty much.
The one exception being the next thing later. Yeah. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness sounds like one of those titles from the 20s.
Yeah.
Like an old novel title.
Like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah. Everyone basically has been confirmed to return for that as well.
Sweet.
Which is gonna be really cool.
Right,
I'm excited for that.
What about, the bad guy?
Mordo.
Probably Mordo.
Yeah. I believe he's confirmed for coming back. I don't know. Maybe they haven't announced that yet. I'm not 100% sure.
Chelsea?
Yes, exactly. But yeah, Doctor Strange is one of my favorite characters, despite how ridiculously, laughably OP he is. I just love him to death.
You know, I second watched, like, I watched Doctor Strange again, and I enjoyed it, like, a lot more the second time.
It's better on the second watch. It's still not the greatest Marvel movie.
No, like, but it's, I liked it. Now I have a much better,
one.
Yeah. I have an enormous and abiding love for comic book Doctor Strange. And I think that they did him in the movie as best as they're ever going to do someone who is nigh unkillable.
Yeah.
Because, like,
they did not Captain Marvel
him. Yes, exactly. And we mentioned this last week on the podcast. They didn't Captain Marvel Doctor Strange, which is amazing to me because, like, Doctor Strange's solution to problems is to rewrite the fabric of the universe until it's no longer a problem. So the fact that he's, like, a reasonable character makes my heart really happy. And so I'm super excited for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yay.
It's gonna be so weird and great, and I'm excited. Alright, Spring 2021, Loki, Disney Plus series.
With the worst logo that's ever been.
Oh my god, it's
so badly designed. The internet is losing its mind with memeing how badly graphically designed
it is. It's so badly designed, you guys. Like, and I've seen, like, fan ones that were made in anticipation of this show that looked fantastic. That looked so good. Like, okay, the English major in me needs to rant for a second because there's this thing, for anyone who doesn't know, called kerning. And if you're a design person, you probably know what this is. And if you're an English person, you maybe know what this is. Kerning is basically two letters' ability to exist next to each other. It's the thing that makes words look weird and spread out if it's fucked up. And basically what it is like, words that have, like, weird little curly cues and wingdings and shit on them need to appear underneath other letters or else they're going, like, a capital Q needs to be able to exist next to a lowercase u, and the little curly Q on the Q needs to go under the U a little bit or else it looks really spaced out and weird and fucked. They didn't do that with this logo. The L is just on its own.
Isn't it a lowercase? No, it's...
No, it's a full
I L. I got distracted by the greenness of the I.
But...
Which kind of looks like a dick.
Yeah, then they're just... It's just really all... And it's four different fonts for four different letters.
It's bad.
It's real ugly. But I am excited for it to exist because Loki is always awesome.
And they brought Tom Hiddleston back. Hooray.
Yes. I'm disappointed because of Endgame that we're getting 2012 Loki. I think character growth anti-hero Loki would be a more compelling story.
Mm-hmm. Or really young Loki.
Yeah, but like 2012 peak megalomaniac Loki will be like, fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think I have faith in them to pull it off. Summer 2021, Marvel What If.
I'm excited.
Is going to be so good.
Yeah, I'm interested. I always really like those comics, even though they're very dour. It's just like... Oh, this person fucks up. Hey, everybody dies!
The world, like, my favorite of all time is, what if Gambit's powers went out of control?
Mm-hmm.
Because Gambit's power, for anyone who doesn't know, like, yeah, he's the guy that throws cards and they explode. What his power actually is that he converts matter to plasma. He touches something, and it goes to plasma, and then it explodes.
Like, charge the electrons, and they go crazy, and then it becomes kinetically charged and explodes.
Yes.
Can he turn that on and off?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not rogue.
In this Marvel What If,
he is rogue.
He loses the ability to control it, and, excuse me, it's 10 o'clock.
Yes,
and,
you know what that means.
Yeah, I know, right? Now it's, it continue after dark. Yeah. No, so Gambit, he loses the ability to turn it on and off, and it starts affecting particles instead of just, solidified matter.
So he
boils the air and destroys the universe.
Cool.
And literally all of the fucking Marvel What Ifs are just, and then the world is destroyed.
Yeah. So, like all the heroes and everything just get one shot, and you're like, oh my. And then it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Everyone's dead.
So I believe they announced it to be an anthology series, but I'm not 100% certain exactly.
Is it animated?
Yes.
Yep.
Is it?
Yep. It is animated. Okay, it's going to be animated.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I think that'll be fun. I think that'll be a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see them do different animation studios for different What Ifs, maybe.
That would be cool.
Man,
and they've got fucking Disney budget.
Oh, yeah.
They've got ILM in-house. Just do the good thing, please. Give it a budget. All right. Fall 2021, Hawkeye. Hawkeye's getting its own series.
Right.
They've got Jeremy Renner on.
There are going to be a lot of people that are very happy about that.
Yeah, I'm actually quite happy about it. The only thing about that, they've brought Jeremy Renner on for it, but they're also introducing, I don't remember what her name
Kate
is.
Kate Bishop,
Girl Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's going to be like the whole thing's like, He's training his
daughter, probably.
Protege,
presumably.
No, I don't think so.
From Endgame, maybe?
I don't think it's his daughter.
Okay, fair enough. I would bet dollars to donuts Jeremy Renner's in like 4 episodes of this and disappears.
Yeah.
Because I believe he's one of the people that was pretty done with the MCU when Endgame wrapped. So I was floored when they announced Hawkeye the series, because I'm like, how did they fucking get him for more stuff?
Yeah.
I thought I remember hearing that for Black Widow as well, as much as it's going to be a prequel, that it's also going to be a bit of a passing of the torch to whoever is going to take on the title next. But I don't know if that's rumor. So
right. They switch roles. Black Widow's a man now, and Hawkeye's a lady.
Those are Marvel what ifs.
Yeah,
that's coming. Oh
too. No!
But yes, they specifically announced that this first season of the Marvel Hawkeye TV series was designed to introduce Kate Bishop,
mm-hmm.
and so presumably Jeremy Renner will be passing the torch. I imagine quite rapidly, because again, he's kind of done.
Yeah,
just like one scene, just throws like a quiver and a bullet or something.
Just like, your problem now.
And then he just runs off.
Just disappears, fades into the night.
Yeah.
All right, and then finally, November 5th, 2021, Taika Waititi returns for Thor, Love and Thunder.
Really quick, Kate Bishop is not related to Hawkeye.
Okay. I know.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman.
Yes, we get Natalie Portman. Natalie Portman is confirmed returning, and they have confirmed that they are doing the storyline from a couple years ago when Thor when they did Lady Thor, where Jane Foster really did gain the power of Thor.
She was dying from cancer in the comics, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, well, you know, she's been hiding for the last 8 years of movies. It's been a while since Natalie Portman's been in the MCU.
Been a while.
I'm stoked that she's back, though.
Because I thought she was kind of done with it.
They probably threw a pile of money at her for it.
Well, and from what I understand, her official response, because I looked into this because I just assumed that she was like Gwyneth Paltrow, where they were just like, all right, who cares? Gwyneth Paltrow's a minor character, we can write her out.
Mm.
It turns out apparently she's been pretty down to be in the MCU on the condition that she has some kind of important role in it. Mm. So Thor the Dark World was okay for that. But even then, like, as an actress, she's mostly just like lying around and not doing anything.
Yeah. I'm sick. I've got Infinity Stone in me.
Tummy hurts. Having a definitive opportunity to like actually act was, as I understand it, Natalie Portman's reason for coming back. Like, Taika Waititi approached her and was like, hey, here's a script that I have where you get to be Thor and fly around and do all the cool shit and throw the hammer. And she was like, fucking dope, get me in on this.
So is Thor just going to join the Guardians permanently?
Yes, Guardians of the Galaxy.
So, on top of that, the ones that have been announced with dates. These are the ones that actually make me really happy, is the other stuff that they have announced on the subject.
A billion years from now.
Yes, on the subject of what's happening with Guardians. The other stuff that they announced, Captain Marvel 2.
Sure.
Guardians 3.
Yay!
Which James Gunn is back for.
Yes, which James Gunn is back for after he's done Suicide Squad in the best thing that has ever happened. James Gunn fucks off to do Suicide Squad and then comes back for Guardians 3. Black Panther 2 has been announced as well.
I'm in for that.
Sweet. And then the cool stuff, Marvel finally got Fantastic Four back. They have announced Fantastic Four, which doesn't matter except that they're doing Doctor Doom.
Are they for sure?
I mean, they have to.
I mean, that could be your next big villain.
They have to do Doctor Doom.
Chris Evans be in it.
That's what I was thinking, is he can come back for Johnny Storm.
See, but they could do Doctor Doom and then they could go full Secret War.
Oh, then they'd have to do Secret War though. And that would make me sad. But Doctor Doom is the best villain that Marvel has ever done, and he has the unfortunate consequence of always being associated with the Fantastic Four.
Oof, yeah.
No one gives a shit about the Fantastic Four. Yeah. Everyone needs to get hyped for Doctor Doom.
Okay. See, they should just do a reverse movie and call it Doom, and then some assholes called the Fantastic Four try to stop him from doing fun stuff.
That would be I would watch the shit. It would just be Infinity War again.
Because I feel like Fantastic Four is a bit of a cursed property.
Yes, but it has never been done by Marvel Studios.
It's true, so maybe...
It could be good. It could also be garbage.
Because X-Men on its reinvention...
They have not announced, by the way, more X-Men stuff yet.
But like, on the initial...
Presumably.
Like, the initial reinvigoration of X-Men, it's like, oh, sweet! Days of Future Past and First Class, pretty great.
I don't know, I liked all of the original X-Men's, even the ones people say are bad.
Sure!
X3 is genuinely awful.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Like, the X-Men movies were fun, but yes. The Fantastic Four movies were always just like...
Yeah, they're really not good.
Yeah.
But they also kind of came from that same time frame of Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man.
It's true.
Which are great.
My problem, like, because I've thought about this a lot, because I kind of like the Fantastic Four as characters. But traditionally, the Fantastic Four are not combat-focused characters at all. Yeah. Like, Johnny Storm and the Thing, yeah, for sure. But they really only hit their major stride when they're not hanging out with Reed and Sue.
I was going to say, not calling them combat focus with a guy's quote who is literally, it's clobbering time.
But honestly, they don't really, like, because Johnny Storm gets really, really badass right before the Future Foundation, which was an arc where Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four because Johnny Storm was dead. The reason that he died was because he was being super fucking badass.
And killing a wave of aliens that were going to invade their galaxy.
Yeah, he was dope.
Yep.
It was awesome. And the Thing has always been sort of like Diet Hulk.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Which is
yeah.
like, whatever. But now the Hulk is kind of gone. Mark Ruffalo, I think, is maybe still interested in doing it. I don't recall. But they can now... because the Thing's whole thing is that he's not as strong as... Yeah, I know. He's not as strong as the Hulk, but he's basically... unstoppable in terms of his ability to not give up in a fight.
Okay.
So you can fight the Thing for like an eternity and he'll keep getting up and telling you to go fuck yourself for the entire time.
He's incredibly durable.
Actually.
And persistent.
So
yeah, he's gonna call you a palooka while he does it.
Yes. And it will be...
He's got a fantastic accent.
It will be deeply degrading.
Boston accent?
I'm yeah, probably it will wrong, be deeply degrading and Michael Chiklis will laugh at you the entire time. So I'm curious how they'll do it, because again, Sue and Reed, who are awesome characters when they don't have to fight anything, are probably going to wet blanket all over this movie.
I think it really depends on the actors who they're going to bring in for this. I know that there's a big rumor that John Krasinski is going to be coming in to do Mr. Fantastic.
Really?
So,
I would watch that.
Then that's just it. So I think it really depends on who they get on casting.
Okay.
Or if that might just be the internet thinking that that might be a really good idea, but I've seen concept art for it too, and I'm sold. I'm 100% on board. So,
by the way, just for Kim's sake, because she'll appreciate this, one of the guy who they cast as Shang-Chi is from Kim's Convenience.
Oh.
I don't recall his name, but he's the guy that when watching Kim's Convenience, you can look at and go, yeah, he could probably be in the MCU.
Yeah.
It's that guy. There's only one. Anyway, so Fantastic Four, and then I saved this one for last for everyone who is a longtime listener of this podcast, because I assume we all have similar taste. Blade.
Yeah.
They finally did it. They're finally pulling the trigger on Blade. Tragically. Wait, bad news, not Wesley Snipes.
Aww.
Good news.
Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala, thank you. Mahershala Ali, who was Cottonmouth in Luke Cage.
Super good, unfortunately written out early character.
Yes. And he's definitively dead. Yeah. And so who gives a shit? Whatever. He gets to be Blade now and that's
way better. Except what they need to do is they need to bring Wesley Snipes back as Whistler.
Ooh.
That's what they need to do.
Ooh, I would watch that. And so other stuff that he's been doing, because he's also a 2-time Oscar winner, which I feel like nobody brings up.
What?
Mahershala Ali, he won for the fucking Best Picture winner
Moonlight?
This year.
No.
And he won for Moonlight, okay. And he won for the Green Book. Green Book, that's what it's called. Oh. He won Best Supporting Actor.
God,
for both.
I'm so out of what the Oscars are doing.
Green Book was not great. Moonlight was good. Green Book was fine. Black Klansman did all of the same stuff better.
Oh boy.
Anyway. So Mahershala Ali has been brought on to be Blade, and that's a great casting choice because he's an Oscar winner and he's already associated with Marvel and he's a really good actor, and Cottonmouth was the best part of Luke Cage season one. And I think that's great, and I think Blade's gonna be good.
Did they announce Mutants as well? I thought I saw that that was on that list as well.
I don't have that. I think that they announced that they were going to do something potentially leading into X-Men.
Is there anything else? Because we're getting long.
Yes, we are getting long. There's other Comic-Con stuff, but we can just fucking lightning round that shit.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
You guys with a yay or a nay?
Alright. We got a trailer for Netflix's Witcher.
Yay.
Woo! Looks good.
Yeah.
They have definitively said that they are not going to adapt the video games. Please stop asking.
Okay, yay, nay, or okay?
Yes.
I think that's an okay.
Okay.
We got a trailer for the HBO Watchmen series.
Okay. Okay.
It looks good. It looks like a sequel to the film or possibly the comics, but the film followed the comic aesthetic almost to the letter.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like Dr. Manhattan's already on Mars, Rorschach's already dead, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Cool. Cool.
Looks decent. We got a trailer for the BBC version of His Dark Materials. We got Golden Compass, basically. The one where Hugh Jackman was a bear.
Oh!
Hugh Jackman is not a bear in this one.
Nay.
It's a different thing. for people that care about that, it looks good.
All right.
All to you.
We got a trailer for It Chapter 2. Looks good.
Okay, I don't like sure. Scaries.
It's gonna be creepy.
The one piece of gameplay news, gaming news, at San Diego Comic-Con, we got, a leak of gameplay footage for Square Enix's Avengers game.
Okay,
sure. It looks okay.
I'll take it.
I'm still an A.
Gameplay style, it sort of combat-wise looks kinda like God of War.
Alright.
Nice. But a little bit faster, and like, as you progress through the single-player levels, you are switching through characters really fast. So the example that they showed was like Thor handling some stuff, and then Tony Stark does a flyby in the middle of the combat, and then as soon as you're done that, the camera just flies up and follows behind Tony Stark, and it was pretty seamless, which I appreciated.
Interesting.
And then Tony was handling stuff further on the bridge, and he did that for a bit, and then the camera swooped up, and the Hulk was jumping out of a plane and doing Hulk stuff.
Yep.
And that was cool.
Just point of reference confirmed at the end of Hall H presentation. Feige announced Black Panther 2, Blade, Captain Marvel 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, Fantastic Four, and Mutants.
And Mutants.
It's listed as Mutants
okay.
right now.
So.
Because Marvel wants to flex the muscle that they can use that word.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, that's right, because they haven't been able to use the word Mutants up until now.
Yes.
They've done Inhumans, they've done, which yep. is actually a thing.
But. Enhanced.
Yes. Yeah, they've been, you know, just fucking unusual people. Like, yeah, right, whatever. Right. And the last thing I want to talk about, I forgot this is not Comic-Con news. Holy shit, you guys, Cats looks really fucked.
Oh, God.
Oh my God. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
big old pass on that.
Yeah.
I love musicals. I was joking
with some friends, but like, what would be funny is a live adaption, and then we said Cats.
I mean, they are already, like, people.
Yeah, but, like, as a movie.
Oh, you guys.
It looks bad.
It's so uncanny valley.
You put that juju in the universe, and the universe decided to spit it back.
It's so deeply uncanny.
You ask, you receive.
Well, I'm like, okay, because, like, I, as a fan of musicals,
same.
I fucking hate Cats so much.
I don't know it.
It's so stupid. It is Andrew Lloyd Webber's fucking fever dream that he mortgaged his house on to make happen.
Oh.
And it became one of the most successful musicals of all time, and it's fucking hot garbage.
That's
it's so bad.
That's why I've avoided it.
Oh, it's so bad. Cats is so bad. And then, and like, but here's the thing. It used to be people in spandex with fur on it, and it was fine, because you can very definitively tell they're in costume. This is,
yeah.
like, weird. Right on the line, because it's very clearly people in green spandex that has been CG'd over.
The furry community is very happy.
Of course.
Taylor Swift is in it, and someone has been masturbating for the last 8 days since that trailer came out.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. And Whitney Houston's in it. Not Whitney Houston, because Whitney Houston's
dead. She's not dead.
Fucking... Oh, what's her name? I know, I've been thinking about Whitney Houston because of Spider-Man, which opened on I Will Always Love You. Fucking, oh God, who's the one with the terrible lips in that trailer? Oh my God.
While Scott looks this up, the one thing that I can say is I've seen some, like, a lot of people are really unhappy about it because one of the, I guess, takeaway things that is good about Cats is how good the dancers are.
Yes.
And that's a lot. They're gonna dance because it's gonna be a remake of the stage musical, but
well, yeah,
theatrically.
They're going so close to the musical aesthetic,
but it's the problem is the people are not like they'll probably be just fine.
Jennifer
but like it was something along the lines of like you see like a person from the actual Broadway performance where they're standing and they're doing a high kick and their leg is literally up at their ear while they're standing on their other leg.
Yeah.
And the other one, the same character in the cinematic trailer, can only get it up just slightly past their hip.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Cast unknowns for this. I don't
know. We will see.
It was Jennifer Hudson who I was thinking
of. Yeah.
That's
fair.
But yeah, the cast is nuts. The cast is really, really, really good. From a vocal standpoint and from a Hollywood standpoint, probably not the best choice for Cats necessarily. Also,
why can't everybody just do what Rent did and get the cast and do it and do it?
No,
I mean, I hate Rent.
I know
well,
you do,
whatever.
But that's the right way
but
to
no,
do it.
But no, fair enough. I agree that the movie was a fairly good adaptation of the, but yes, the cast includes, so I think for the main girl, it's an unknown. It's a woman that I've never heard of.
What's her name?
Francesca Hayward.
No, me neither.
But, people who are in this movie that you've heard of. Idris Elba, Taylor Swift, Rebel Wilson, Judy Dench, Ian McKellen, Jennifer Hudson, James Corden, Jason Derulo, weirdly.
I like that.
Yeah.
He's gonna say his name.
Yeah, I know, right? The cast is actually stacked, but they've just decided to do Cats straight. And... what?
I have one thing to say.
What's that?
Meow!
Boo. I'm gonna, in true Cats fashion, I'm gonna turn around and show this movie my butthole. and walk in the other direction, because holy shit, I'm so not interested.
I'm gonna pull it off the table.
Yeah, exactly. Look the director dead in the eye and tap it like 4 times until it falls off the table.
And then he's gonna say no, and you're gonna stop, and then you're gonna do it.
Do it anyway. Exactly. Alright,
on that wonderful note.
On that extremely weird note.
And from all of us at the Kit Meow Tinu
Podcast.
Have a good night.
Yeah. Wherever you are, I hope you're doing good. Night.
Night.